Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Tuesday, October 2nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, police say a gunman was lying in wait before shooting two men, killing one of them at a tow yard in Southwest Philadelphia. Happened about 6:30 yesterday when two men ages 44 and 50 were talking in a lot in a private company that stores towed cars on the 900 block of South 52nd Street. Authorities say it was a hangout spot for the two. Police say that's when suddenly a gunman appeared and fired off a number of shots, striking the 44-year-old once in the face and multiple times in the chest. He was pronounced dead at Penn Presbyterian Medical Center. The 50-year-old was shot in the leg and was taken to the hospital in stable condition. Investigators say it's likely the gunman knew the victims. The one man owned the tow company and the other drives the tow trucks. Police say the gunman may have fled on foot. There are several businesses, homes, and a church not far from the scene. Police are trying to locate any surveillance camera video. There is no known motive and no weapon was recovered. A Latin teacher at Abington Senior High School has been arrested after being accused of inappropriate sexual contact with a student. 55-year-old Thomas Coomer of Willow Grove is facing five felony charges, including corruption of minors, unlawful contact with a minor, photographing, filming, or depicting a sexual act on a computer, endangering the welfare of a child, and institutional sexual assault of a minor. Coomer was arraigned on Monday morning. He's being held at with $250,000 cash bail. The offense allegedly happened while the two were part of a field trip in Italy over the summer, investigators say. Coomer was a chaperone on that trip. Police say there are 290 pages worth of messages between the two that were romantic in nature. Compromising photos of the minor were found in the evidence as well, authorities say. Police released some of the alleged text messages in an affidavit of probable cause. One reads, "I think you should move in with me and I miss you. I love you." Another reads, "I always have two emergency tickets to the Caribbean. I want to be on a plane with you."
Wow.
Coomer apparently became concerned he had not heard from the girl over the last several days. He established contact with her on Sunday. Hearing police were investigating, he allegedly asked the teen if officers had a search warrant and wanted to know if she had deleted earlier text messages. The affidavit suggests a growing sense of panic. "I think I should run now. Like, I'm afraid to go to school on Monday. I'm completely freaked out," one message reads. Coomer, who did not have an attorney present, made an appeal to the judge for lower bail. He told the judge that he was a respected member of the Abington faculty for 23 years. He also said he is a caregiver for his seriously ill father, and his daughter, a college student, depends on him. He vowed not to run away. The judge denied that request, saying the allegations against Coomer are serious and he was a flight risk because of the potential jail sentence he faces if he's convicted on the charges against him. The districts ask anyone with information to contact the Abington police detectives.
Kathy, how old is the student?
I believe that they haven't said yet, but I did hear in one report that she's around 15. It's a high school.
Wow. That's
so,
what I heard.
9th through 12th grade.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yes, sure is. A vandal has struck Boathouse Row, sending an iconic statue into the Schuylkill River. The statue of Viking explorer Thorfinn Karlsefni has stood there since 1920 at Kelly Drive in Boathouse Row. Sometime overnight, police say it appears the perpetrator used a rope to pull it off the pedestal and drag the statue into the river.
Now, that's a lot of work.
It's a ton of work.
I mean, like, literally tons.
Yeah, yeah.
I would imagine that thing weighs quite a bit.
And how into the river? How do you get it out? Yeah.
So now only the pedestal remains there. The statue was also vandalized a year ago. At that time, it was spray painted with an anti-Nazi language and an anarchy symbol. Karlsefni was an Icelandic hero who is thought to have visited the Americas as early as 1004 AD. The statue remains in the river as police are investigating.
What? So what? I don't understand the anti-Nazi.
Yeah, Bell, you with him and Thor. You know the history. Because I don't.
Him okay. And Thor.
And this. The shield says it all, I guess.
Right. I don't get it. Okay.
So now he sits in the river right
now.
All right, in sports this morning.
All sacks are yummy.
The Milwaukee Brewers won their first National League Central title since 2011, beating the Chicago Cubs 3-1 yesterday afternoon in a tiebreaker game. Lorenzo Cain hit a go-ahead single in the eighth inning to help Milwaukee win its eighth in a row and earn home field advantage throughout the National League
playoffs.
The Brewers will host the wild card winner starting Thursday in the best of five division series. Chicago stays at Wrigley Field for tonight's wild card game at 8 o'clock against the Rockies. In the game between the Rockies and the Dodgers, Walker Buehler led Los Angeles to a record sixth consecutive National League West title for a 5-2 win in the tiebreaker. LA now hosts Atlanta in the National League division series beginning on Thursday. In Monday Night Football, the Kansas City Chiefs came back to beat the Broncos 27-23 in Denver. By overcoming a 10-point fourth-quarter deficit, the Chiefs improved to 4-0 and took a two-game lead over the Broncos in the AFC West rivals. The only other remaining unbeaten team in the NFL is the Los Angeles Rams. In hockey news, Scott Hartnell announced his retirement after playing 17 NHL seasons. Hartnell posted news of his retirement on Twitter just a few days before the regular season begins. The 36-year-old was unsigned after spending last season in Nashville. Hartnell put up 327 goals and 380 assists for 707 points in 1,249 regular season games with the Predators, Flyers, and Columbus Blue Jackets. In the lengthy post, Hartnell said 17 years in the NHL was the best job anyone could ask for. In the 2010 Stanley Cup Finals with the Flyers, he had 9 points in a six-game series against Chicago. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs! And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Speaking of Scotty, we will have him on the program this morning. Nick reached out right when he found out about his announcement, and Scott got back immediately and said, yeah, I'd love to come on.
He's a great guy.
So we'll talk to him around 9 o'clock this morning and just see what precipitated all of that and why hang it up this year.
He is a worldly known good guy, right?
Good guy, absolutely. So we have Scott joining us. We have actor Joe Mantegna on the show.
He's great.
Criminal Minds has its 300th episode that they're celebrating.
It's amazing. So he's been with the show for a long time. Yeah. The original guy was Mandy Patinkin.
Mandy Patinkin,
who left.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And,
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I was going through the list of people. The cast goes on and on. People have been on the show and then left. But 300 episodes.
Yeah. How many of those 300 have you watched, Preston?
They're the soundtrack of my life.
Yeah.
Because they're on all the time. My wife, whatever channel that is, she has it on all the time. And I'll come in and I'll catch part of a story, but it never draws me in to watch the whole thing. But she'll sit there and watch one after another after another.
She loves the procedurals. I was talking about the Law and Order marathon that occurs every weekend. And there must have been 5 episodes that went past, but I could never tell when one was ending and another one was beginning.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking up on IMDb because I think it's... I get the shows confused, okay?
You have NCIS, you have Law and Order, you have Criminal Minds.
There's one that has, I think, is the cutest girl on television. And I don't think it's her. Maybe it's... There's Criminal Minds, Law and Order. What else is there?
NCIS.
CSI.
CSI. And there's another one I'm thinking of. Well, I do have a thing
for UPS.
I have a thing for Padgett Brewster.
Oh, big yes.
Time. And she's
on Criminal Minds.
On Joe, she's on that. Oh, no, damn it. The one with
NCIS.
No. Hang on. Don't say it. The guy who was in Turk 182.
Timothy Hutton.
Timothy Hutton. And
okay, what is that one?
Damn it. I'm going to pull
look
it up.
Timothy Hutton.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Okay.
We just figured out his name. So now I have to punch it in because we're not going anywhere.
No, we're not. We need to know this.
I'm turning this car around.
Until I figure this out.
Is it about leverage?
I'm turning this car around right now. It's leverage. And now I need to find, click on leverage and I need to find.
And who is this mystery woman?
Girl, she is. Yeah, it's Beth Reisgraf.
Huh.
But she's, I don't
Beth Reisgraf.
I guess that's how you say her name. R-I-E-S-G-R-A-F.
And what's her look?
Blonde, cute, more cute than hot, but a lot of hot. And
oh, I know her, and I agree.
Yeah, she's
super
duper
cute. She's actually a pretty good actress, too.
Yeah, she's not. In fact, I think she might have done a crossover on Criminal Minds as well.
Get the F out.
Shut up.
You know who else is on leverage?
Who?
Christian Kane.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does he have a sister, Christian?
Oh, my God. Are you going to make me do this?
No, don't worry.
Do it!
No, I'm not doing it.
We were at the Camp Out for Hunger, and he came out. He's on leverage, and his name is Christian. And Casey, out of nowhere, just goes, by the way, do you have a sister, Christian? And then he launches right into Motorin. It was actually one of my favorite moments on the show. Yes. All right, so we wasted a lot of time on that.
We had to find out. We're a news organization.
We have a few other things going on today. Birthday Bucks is taking place yet again, and we want you to win that $1,000, so stay close because 8 o'clock is when we will reveal what today's special word is, and I'll tell you all how to do it. It's very, very simple. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. We'll take a break, come back in a second. Entertainment report with a stupid question and giveaways and more Night Ranger.
Yeah!
We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I'm sorry, I was distracted. I was looking at a video on Instagram of intern Jasmine filming her butt.
Oh, what? No. What is this? What's going on here?
She here posted today? It on her stories.
She is here.
A little butt shot there. So thank you, Jasmine. We're going to do...
She's very funny.
She is. We're going to do the stupid question. We have a trip. No, that's the word of the week.
Nah, I'm not giving away to Spain.
I'm not giving away a trip.
No. A trip to Barcelona.
No. However, a pair of tickets to the Museum of American Revolution.
Oh, same thing.
It's a trip to the
history thing.
It's a trip to history.
And October 27th, the museum presents Hamilton Was Here, Rising Up in Revolutionary Philadelphia. So
it's actually the greatest gift. It's the gift of time travel.
I have a Halloween question.
Ooh.
And it's from the film Halloween, the 1978 film. What fictitious town does this movie primarily take place in? 215-263-WMMR. Do you scoff?
I love it. I love the movie. You just even bringing up the question makes me want to go watch it again. And then the new one is coming out, which looks very reverential of the source material.
Looks real good.
It's bringing back Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm loving what I'm seeing.
What fictitious town does the film Halloween, the 1978 version, primarily take place in? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Let's see if we can get an answer. While we are awaiting that answer, we will go through birthdays for Tuesday, October 2nd, and they include Kelly Ripa.
Ripa!
Ripa is celebrating her 48th birthday today.
If I were her, I would be, honestly, first, I love her. She's
that scream.
She's gorgeous, and she's really, you know, fun, and she just seems like a good person, always supports the camp out. But this whole thing with Michael Strahan, you know, leaving the show and all this stuff, and then they go and stick him on a show that is live with Kelly and Michael in the afternoon. They got a girl who's basically Kelly Ripa Light.
Yeah.
It's the same damn show.
Yep.
He left that show to do the same show.
But hers is, that's the one that, you know, everybody's been watching for years and years and years. Very, very successful. So she's doing good.
I love her, and I love her husband, who's on Riverdale.
Mr. Consuelos.
Mr. Consuelos.
She's 48 today and looking fantastic. It's also Sting's birthday today. He still looks fantastic.
He looks,
he's 67 years old.
Just through town, right? Didn't he have a...
Shaggy. I heard the show was phenomenal.
I have no doubt.
That guy's always been in great shape, even at 67. If you go back to the movie Dune, there's there's a scene where he comes out, basically he's just wearing underwear.
Like a diaper.
And he kind of like flexes and you see all his muscles.
No body fat.
He was always in great shape. And what a talent. What an amazing musical talent.
He does yoga, Preston.
He does.
So,
big
you know,
time. So
maybe he'll end up looking like Sting.
I got my diaper shot coming up soon. He's 67 today. Sting, who is Gordon...
Sumner,
thank you very much.
Gordon Shumway.
I almost said Gordon Shumway.
This is such a great song.
This is a great song. Yeah. This whole album is phenomenal. Synchronicity is great. So 67 today. Lorraine Bracco.
Former wife, but besides her acting career, you know, The Sopranos and Goodfellas and all the things she's done throughout the years, she's had a couple of high-profile hubbies, and their marriages went bad. Harvey Keitel and Edward James Olmos,
and they were at each other, not at each other's throats, but they were fighting.
Yeah.
Olmos and Harvey Keitel. She is excellent. She's an excellent actress, and she is so good in Goodfellas. At the scene where De Niro is sort of pointing her down the street, you know, there's some go down, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be a hit.
And she's putting two and two together.
Uh-huh.
There's not a lot of dialogue, but her face is like, oh, I got to go.
She is 64. Actor Avery Brooks.
Yes.
Now, in here, it says his credit is Star Trek Deep Space Nine, which he had a great, you know.
Yeah, he's great. In.
But he was in American History X.
Which is one of our, I know it's weird to say it, but it is one of our favorite films, Preston, because it's so powerful, so well done, and he is so good in it.
And I have Marissa grab a clip, Steve. It's to me, it's the pivotal moment in the movie.
I know what it is, and I agree.
And he's the guy, he's in jail, and Edward Norton's character has just hit rock bottom. He's been raped in the shower and all this stuff.
He's a white supremacist.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and he has this, you sending it over, Marissa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, here you go.
Well, I can play the exchange from Step Brothers.
No. Here it is, because this is the moment where he realizes... It's his moment of clarity. So I wanted to play this. It's a short clip, so here we go.
There was a moment when I used to blame everything and everyone for all the pain and suffering and vile things that happened to me, that I saw happen to my people. Blame everybody. Blame white people. Blame society. Blame God. I didn't get no answers because I was asking the wrong questions. You have to ask the right question.
Like what?
Has anything you've done made your life better?
That's it. God. That's it in a nutshell.
Oh, that's it. And he just bang, turns. Yep.
He hasn't really acted since 2001. He did a movie called 15 Minutes that came out then. He
directs a lot, Nick, too.
Narration. Not really. He's really kind of disappeared. He directed a little bit in the 90s with Star Trek. But
I hope he's okay.
I was trying to figure out if he's done anything of note since, and it's not a whole lot. I was wondering why he is not acting, because he's great.
If he's not acting, he could also do voiceover work. The guy's got an amazing delivery.
On Deep Space Nine, that character of Sisko was excellent.
Yeah.
And he was every bit the equal of Picard on The Next Generation.
He is celebrating his 70th birthday today. Also turning 70 is Donna Karan, the fashion designer.
Mm.
Do you like her stuff, Kath? You, Donna Karan?
You know what? When I was younger, I had a few things. Not anymore.
Now that you're midlife.
Did she? No. I thought she did the Eagles cheerleaders.
No, that's Vera Wang.
That was Vera Wang, yeah.
But DKNY was kind of like a hot thing for a little while.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like, if you see it, it's almost like somebody's wearing like British Knight sneakers.
Well, you know what?
BKs. Yes.
I think that you can find her stuff like in discount stores like TJ Maxx, Marshalls, places like that now.
Next to the Cheryl Ladd collection.
Lots of money to be made there, though.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. She's 70 today. And then the last birthday I saw is the celebrity photographer, world-renowned Annie Leibovitz. And she is 69 years old today. Loads of Rolling Stone covers. Actually, tons of different magazines.
What's her most iconic shot? Or one of them has to be the Lennon and Yoko.
John is naked, laying against Yoko on the cover of Rolling Stone. I think she also did the one where it's Pete Townsend with the bloody hand up by his face.
Yeah.
There are lots. She's done some classic David Bowie photos.
What's the story behind the bloody hand?
He was. I'm not sure if he was bleeding from playing guitar and he cut his finger while he was doing it, or you know what? I'd have to look that up. But it happened spontaneously, and she's like, "Let's incorporate this. You know, keep that blood on there. It wasn't orchestrated. He just happened to have had some type of a quick accident, and they incorporated it into the photo."
Steve,
I wanted you to get a picture of you with your bloody head the other
day. Oh, that would have been awesome. Oh, yeah, that could have been my Pete Townsend picture. She also did press in the picture of the guy with 100 cigarettes in his mouth.
Oh, my God.
I love that picture.
Yeah, that's her.
That was the Guinness Book of World Records. I remember that.
All right, so that picture, John and Yoko, I'm sure there's got to be Photoshop of a turd coming out, right? There's got to be.
Let's start it now.
Right? Let's do it.
I think actually Paul McCartney did a version.
I
don't even know how to do Photoshop.
She also did, Steve, the iconic Bruce Springsteen jumping in the air with the American flag behind him.
It's great.
Doing the big guitar power chord
And before it was in vogue, she did Demi Moore naked and pregnant.
Yeah, okay.
So she was the first.
The first one to get that. Okay. So she is 69 years old today and still, you know, does quite a bit in the world of photography. All right. Let's see if we can get an answer to the super question. What fictitious town does film Halloween take place in? And we're going to go to John, see if we can get the answer from him. Hey, John, good morning.
Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman. John. God, he's fast, isn't he? That's Casey. John, do me a favor. Tell me what fictitious town the film Halloween primarily takes place in.
Haddonfield.
Haddonfield, Illinois, yes. Hang on a moment, man. John, we are going to give you some tickets for the Museum of American Revolution, and it's opening October 27th. The museum presents Hamilton Was Here, Rising Up in Revolutionary Philadelphia, a limited-run interactive experience tracing Hamilton's rise in the Philadelphia region. For tickets, visit amrevmuseum.org.
You know, the concept of Halloween was they were looking for some sort of event or holiday, but it was not part of the original. When the movie was being put together, they arrived at Halloween down the road, but they were just looking more for a teen, you know, horror movie, movie that would appeal. And then John Carpenter stepped in, you know. Let's take it this way, and it's a masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah, it's a great movie. Hey, real quick, I'm sorry, I saw this text. I don't know if it's true or not, but actor Avery Brooks, who we're talking about?
Yes.
Somebody says he's a college teacher in North Jersey now.
No way. I'd love to get him on.
Switched careers and...
he probably listens.
Probably.
I would assume.
Definitely does.
Maybe we can track him down. That'd be kind of cool. I would love to talk to more people. You and I love talking to people like that.
Oh, absolutely.
People have had one or two big iconic roles, not necessarily a big star-studded career, but still...
Because you like to get into it.
Yeah. Especially, you know, movies that had an impact.
We tend to stay away from accomplished people.
Right.
Please.
You want to sneak in to one of his classes, just kind of hang out?
Yeah. I'm here, Mr. Booth.
All right, so let's dive into some of the entertainment stuff. Is it ever too late to say I'm sorry? Well, Samantha Markle is about to find out. She traveled to England to plead her case and find out if her estranged sister, Duchess Meghan Markle, will forgive her for basically saying that she was the spawn of Satan before her marriage to Prince Harry.
I'm sure she'll forgive.
I'm very sorry, and I apologize with all my heart.
So I've seen pictures of her on the set of this morning chat show.
Yes. Jeremy Vine's UK talk.
Okay, and it looks like she has one of those little handles for a wheelchair in front of her. Is she wheelchair bound?
That I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, really? The sister?
So, take a look at some of the pictures, Kathy, and it looks like she has one of those controllers in front of her.
She pitched her case. She said, I would just say there is so much water under the bridge and so much has spun out of control that was never intended to. And, you know, I think everybody was hurt not being included or invited to the wedding. But I felt as though it could have all been nipped in the bud had everyone been included. And we,
you crazy man.
And we all just agreed to move forward with positive resolve.
they rained the criticism down on her. It was the only one who didn't was the brother who was a pot farmer.
She continued saying the hurt feelings wouldn't have snowballed, but believe it or not, it doesn't mean that we love you any less. I think that families can be this way when there's confusion and people are hurt. So moving forward, I apologize and wish things could be different. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's definitely in a wheelchair.
Here we go. Really? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So the 53-year-old attempted to visit Meghan, whom she very recently referred to as... No, wait. She very recently referred to as a douche ass.
Douche ass?
Yeah.
I like douche ass.
A douche ass.
Yeah.
I don't know about douche ass.
No.
Repeated, seems like a stretch.
Repeatedly slammed.
Actually sounds kind of regal.
Repeatedly slammed in the press and publicly counseled Harry not to marry her in the days leading up to their May nuptials at Kensington Palace, but her request has not yet been acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, publicist Robert Cooper tweeted, Samantha Markle is coming to the UK. After making numerous attempts in private to arrange a one-on-one meeting with the Duchess of Sussex to discuss their 74-year-old father's health, Kensington Palace have refused to respond. I fear Meghan may not be made aware of these discreet attempts, and therefore making this public is the only option we have left. So she says she's kind of trying.
You know, she really didn't have to go to England to do that. You know, it's not like she's making a face-to-face apology. Right.
I think what she's trying to suggest is she thought if she made this full-throated effort to head over there that Meghan Markle would say, all right, well, you're here. Let's talk this out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she's in a wheelchair because of MS.
Okay.
Gotcha. All right, the war between Aja Argento and Rose McGowan rages on, unabated. If anything, the mutual distaste seems to be on the upswing.
Shut the f*** up!
So Argento wrote on Instagram, over an Instagram story, she wrote, "Bye-bye, Rose McGowan," and this was as her foot got tattooed with a dagger dripping blood.
Ooh. Damn!
Argento then followed that subtle missive with another Instagram story captioned, "Significato Vendetta Consumata."
Oh, my God. That's my favorite. I like it with a pesto sauce.
Which, according to Us Weekly, is an Italian phrase that means consumed revenge.
Ooh.
It also means Backstreet Boys.
This is probably a bad...
NSYNC.
Yeah, or NSYNC, one of those.
They're interchangeable.
Yeah, exactly. You know, these two were at the forefront of the Me Too movement, and now they're waging war this way.
Yeah, she continued by saying, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath.
For it
is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' saith the Lord."
Wow.
What's the point of all this?
Well, I don't know. I thought they were going to let it drop. Rose McGowan apologized. Aja Argento didn't really accept the apology, but said, okay, let's just move on.
Now they're just being catty bitches on social media?
Yes. I think that's what they're doing.
Invoking scripture.
And getting tattoos.
The pair bonded after publicly accusing Harvey Weinstein of assaulting them, of course, but that has since gone by the wayside.
In fact, Aja Argento's in Today Press and for Tat Tuesday.
She getting a monkey?
Yeah, he's getting a monkey. Yeah. Monkeyus, Primus, Destroyus.
Yes. All right, let's move over to Ben Affleck for a moment. He stepped away from rehab to join Jennifer Garner at church over the weekend.
Ah.
The 46-year-old has been spending time in a Lux Malibu rehab center for more than a month.
Lux is the new way to say luxury.
This person writing these reports seems to think so.
Yeah.
Their three kids, Violet, Serafina, and Samuel, were also in attendance. Affleck and Garner have continued to prioritize family time despite their split and the fact that Affleck has very publicly romanced several women since announcing their split.
I would like to welcome Benjamin here today to join the congregation. He was the gentleman you probably saw drinking out of the holy water earlier. I had to tell him that was not sacrificial wine.
His most recent rumored girlfriend is 22-year-old playmate Shauna Sexton, whom he was seen out with in the week prior to his return to rehab.
We're curious if you will be appearing in the next Batman film.
He was also recently spotted at Warner Brothers Studios in L.A.
Yeah.
And what sources described Entertainment Tonight as a business meeting, many questioned Affleck's future as Batman before his return to rehab. Calls for a younger Dark Knight. Have only increased in the week since.
Can you effectively do rehab when you're still, you know, don't you have to visit yourself? Don't you have to spend, you know.
You have to do you.
Well, he's been there for a while, right? I don't know if he's doing the standard, like, 28 days or whatever.
I don't know.
But...
You want me to check in and find out?
Yeah.
Why don't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'll do it for the team.
Yeah, do it. See how long it takes. Because you don't have any issue, and they'll take you to the speed program.
Sure, maybe.
Well, and we've talked before about when Affleck is on set, he actually seems to have his stuff together.
That's the word. When he's working,
he's doing all right.
And some people might need that kind of focus.
Yeah.
And then when you have this kind of career where you do this project and then you have time off and then you're sifting your options for a while, I would imagine there's a lot of leisure time.
Yeah, what happens when the lights shut off, Preston?
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm going to vomit.
Yep.
What do they say?
So nervous.
Idle time is the devil's playground.
Idle time is the devil's playground. Idle hands are the tools of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Idol was a singer from the 80s.
Yes. and still tries to have a career. Affleck.
Idle Billy Idol is the singer of the devil.
Affleck's other recent ex, Saturday Night Live producer Lindsay Shookus, also stepped out over the weekend. She was photographed looking stylish and happy following the premiere of SNL, on which Affleck's pal Matt Damon made a surprise appearance. Shookus seems to be doing just fine.
Matt Damon.
Post-breakup, and she also recently took home an Emmy along with her fellow SNL producers. So she's happy.
She's doing just fine.
Mm-hmm. Details about Gwyneth Paltrow's Saturday wedding to mega producer Brad Falchuk also are slowly beginning to trickle through via official and unofficial channels. She tacitly acknowledged their nuptials by posting on Instagram a sweet, understated shot of their hands, which bore thin gold wedding bands.
These are our hands. Bonded with wedding rings.
Did you hear about the reception?
No.
They did Robot Wars.
Robot Wars? Yeah.
It was wild.
Whoa.
That's a different take. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
These are our hands.
But they go...
Joined in matrimony.
They're uber rich and so forth, so they go for the understated look of very, very thin wedding bands. Nothing gaudy, nothing...
Right.
You know...
That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. The wedding itself reportedly took place at Paltrow's home in the Hamptons on Saturday, the night before pals... the Seinfelds hosted the rehearsal dinner at their own Hampton spread.
Your pals are the Seinfelds. They're next door.
The day of the wedding, Paltrow reportedly hung out with close friend Cameron Diaz. About 75 people were in attendance, including the Seinfelds, Rob Lowe, Robert Downey Jr., Benji Madden Diaz, and Steven Spielberg.
And then they went over to the Mario Lopez estate.
It kicked off with a cocktail hour and a string quartet.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, hit the strings again, please. So guests were led into the tented area, where they exchange their vows.
Play 80s Billy Joel.
Then guests were led to another tent where the reception was held. Two long wooden tables were decorated with candles and white and burgundy flowers. There was live music. The pair announced their engagement on the cover of Paltrow's Goop, Sex and Love issue. After
these are our tables.
After dating more than 3 years. So
who wants a hot dog?
Those were the details of the ceremony.
So it was understated, but then again, we had mentioned yesterday that they had a huge engagement party.
That's right.
That rivaled most full-blown weddings.
I think that's why they pulled back for the actual... And the, you know what? Maybe that's the way it should be.
Yes.
Maybe it should be a big party for the less formal affair, and then you do the more subdued...
When you're wearing a suit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Can't stand the sting.
Food Network star Elton Brown has tied the knot with Elizabeth Ingram, the chef.
We're in love.
And the interior designer married over the weekend on a boat.
Our hands are joined.
In Charleston, South Carolina. Brown shared the news on Instagram, captioning a shot of their dog, Abigail. And it said, Mom and Dad got married on a boat, and all I got was a glass of weird fizzy stuff.
Is the dog an Australian Shepherd?
No. That's, who was that? I forgot who that was.
Oh, the Australian Shepherd was,
Amanda Seyfried.
I think you might be right, yeah.
Wow. Tom Sadowski, right? That's who her husband is?
Maybe.
By the way,
Alton and his wife met at a book signing for one of his books.
Do you like Alton?
I like him a lot.
Who is he?
His show is called Good Eats, and he does a really, really great job of explaining stuff, and he does it in a fun way. He uses a lot of teaching aids, and it's slickly produced. It's not just a person in the kitchen cooking. There's a lot of cutaways and stuff like that. And he's one of the big time favorites on Food Network. He's been there for a long, long time. Great show. What else do we have here for you? Louis C.K. hit NYC's Comedy Cellar again on Sunday, and per Page Six, it wasn't a slam dunk. A source said he went on around midnight. A few women walked out. He didn't address his allegations against him. He was a little arrogant, and he made some comment like, I've been off for a while because everyone needs a break. One audience member tweeted of his set, I saw Louis C.K. at the Comedy Cellar last night, and I'm happy to report his new material is just as bad as the old.
Hmm.
He first appeared at the venue in August following last year's allegations to a mix of vocal outrage and support from various camps in the comedy world. So he's going back in, and he's trying stuff out.
Systematically.
Working his way back. If you're a fan of Game of Thrones, fan favorite Ghost, a.k.a. Jon Snow's direwolf, is apparently going to return for the 8th and final season.
Ooh.
I thought they were all dead, but I guess
no,
my count was off. Joe Bauer, the visual effects supervisor, said, oh, you'll see him again.
Is this a werewolf?
Yeah, he's a direwolf, yeah. He has a fair amount of screen time in season 8.
I'm a direwolf.
A big wolf.
He was last spotted in season 6. Yeah, it's like a gigantic wolf.
I'm a super big wolf.
Game of Thrones returns in 2019, although I don't know exactly when.
No one knows.
That's going to happen. The Barden Bellas, Rebel Wilson. You hear Casey gasp?
Rebel Wilson, Anna Camp, Brittany Snow, and Chrissy Fitt seem to be rallying the troops for a fourth installation in their successful Pitch Perfect franchise.
Is that necessary, Case? You said yes, the third one was not that good.
No. It was silly. It's silly. I mean, they added like some sort of like a crime thing, and you know, and it's totally not necessary. But you know, whatever sort of song and dance they do around the singing,
you enjoy seeing that.
I enjoy the singing.
All right.
Just the other night, we were driving, me and my family, and I had my daughter. I'm like, hey, because we were doing like, you know, DJ. I said, play the last two numbers from the first Pitch Perfect movie. I love them.
It still rocks you up. Yeah. Can you still do the cup thing, Preston?
No.
I
would have to relearn
it. You lost it.
I don't remember the rhythm, but it wouldn't take me long to figure it out again.
Is there anything equivalent to that in any of the other movies? The cup thing?
They make fun of it at some point in the second or third movie. They posted a shot of themselves holding up four fingers from Camp's birthday bash thrown in tandem for her husband, Skylar Austin's birthday on Sunday, but you never know.
The only thing that has remained the same in all three movies, obviously they had the final number or whatever, but the riff off thing.
That they keep doing it?
Yeah.
Which it sounds great and it's fun, but it's stupid because they're doing this as if it's spontaneous. It is insanely well-rehearsed bits.
Of course. You know? And I think
they're just riffing.
They're just making it up.
They're just making it up.
These perfect harmonies.
Not perfect harmonies, and everybody just happens to know all the words from this, you know, random song from the early 90s.
But it's a movie.
So,
I was just going to say that. You guys know it's a movie, right?
But they go on and on. I'm like, oh, come on. But anyhow.
Well, yeah, and the Green Bay Packers, I mean, come on. They just show up to a riff-off? That was one of the... Yes.
I don't remember that.
Forget which one. The second one. Yes, Clay Matthews and the Green Bay Packers...
Show up to a riff-off?
...are in Pitch Perfect 2, and they're in the riff-off.
Really? Oh, that doesn't make any sense.
David Cross, plays this eccentric billionaire who loves a cappella music, and he has a riff-off party, and one of the groups is the Green Bay Packers.
Do they really do the singing?
I don't know if they really do the singing, but they lip-sync it.
I mean, people call the Avengers sci-fi, but... This is ridiculous.
Yeah, but the girls are stunning.
Mm-hmm.
I go back and forth between Anna Kendrick and Haley Steinfeld.
I'm
in love with both of those.
They're wonderful.
What else we have here for you? Let's go to this one. Netflix is bringing back an interactive element to one episode of Black Mirror next season, according to a report from Bloomberg and confirmation from The Hollywood Reporter.
That's cool.
At this point, we don't really know exactly how the interactivity will work, but both publications reported that it will be a sort of choose-your-own-adventure thing.
I'm interested in your Black Mirror activities.
And it makes sense for Black Mirror to give it a shot. Black Mirror, created by Charlie Brooker, has been one of Netflix's most critically acclaimed series since the streaming company picked it up in 2015 from the British TV network Channel 4, earning 5 Emmy Awards in 2017 and 2018. Each episode of the show is its own contained, often terrifying story revolving around technology. Now, Netflix has done the whole choose-your-own-adventure thing before when they did Puss in Book, Trapped in an Epic Tale, which allows viewers to choose where Puss goes in the narrative by clicking one of two options while viewing. Throughout the 35-minute experience, there are 13 branching paths to go down. That's pretty cool, man.
That is cool.
When reached out to Netflix for confirmation on comment, a Netflix spokesperson responded via email, "Thanks for reaching out. You have the ability to choose your own response from Netflix, this or this." And then they had links. So obviously that's playing along with the fact that they will do that. If you think about how genius that is, if you have 13 different branches that you can go down, you're going to watch the same episode many times.
Yes, you will.
Going through all the options until you get to the end, which is going to boost up the number of views and continue to post, and, you know, boost the numbers up.
It's a great idea.
If they do this too much, it'll get old real quick.
And that in and of itself is like an episode of Black Mirror, like falling into the technology of having to do these types of things.
God, I love that show.
It's so great.
I wonder if they could, well, because it's Netflix and because it's all based on delayed and your schedule viewing, could they could do, though, a live Black Mirror event, right? That'd be kind of cool to tie in the technology and link up.
Wow.
I mean, because that's what the whole show is about.
Yeah.
It actually, I told you, we won a couple. Actually, another episode that won, Preston, at the Emmys was the museum episode. The
one I love that.
So it's phenomenal.
That was the season finale, was it not?
Yeah, yes, it was, because it tied a whole bunch of the stories you had already seen together.
Oh, I don't. Did it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, because in the museum.
You're talking about the museum in the desert. In the desert,
next
right?
to the gas station.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in the museum were artifacts from other episodes you had already seen.
I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I guess I should stop playing Words of Friends while I watch these. Well,
yeah. The turnaround, how the evil guy gets. What he gets
what he has coming to him.
Oh, it's so good.
It's really, really, really good. Hey, before I go to the last story, there's a caller that's been on hold for a little while.
Oh.
I want to go to Chris here. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Gadzooks.
Hey, Chris, what's up, man? What do you want to tell us?
So I heard you guys talking about Avery Brooks and with regard to his birthday and his film career and all. And you guys said that you wanted to get him on the show if possible. Well, listen, guys, I'm a friend of his second child, Cabral. He and I went to school together in college. Yeah. And I shot him a text message this morning stating what you guys said and asked him, do you think it's a possibility to get your dad on the show?
Oh, so, that's awesome. Excellent. Thank you for doing that, man.
Yeah,
let us.
Absolutely, guys. Absolutely.
Chris, does the family live in Princeton?
Promises.
No.
Chris, does the family live in Princeton?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, somebody had texted that in as well, and so we didn't know how local they were, but that's really cool.
Well, then he can hear us. You're right, Steve.
Yeah, and Chris, sweeten the pot. We would offer Avery or Mr. Brooks a copy of The Scorpion King 3 with Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, wow, and Death Race Part 2.
Yeah, Death Race.
And also tell him that I named my daughter after him, which is not true, but her name is Avery.
No, we'd definitely be thrilled to talk to him. We often cite American History X as one of our...
Yeah,
favorite, most powerful film.
And you can send him the podcast after when the show ends.
Well, maybe we'll talk to him before the show ends.
Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Chris. I'll have Marissa get your particulars, okay?
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
How about that?
That's nice. We say it here, it comes out there.
How about that? Hey, we like hookers.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's try a few things.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
Might as well throw it out there.
There are male hookers.
Yes, we'll get one for you, too.
Get one for you.
Yes, where's the woman?
All right, we need to do the clips. New Amsterdam tells the story of a charming doctor fighting to get his staff's trust and keep his word to provide great care to his patients. Here, Ryan Eggold explains why this isn't just another typical doctor show.
David Schulner, who wrote the script, wrote this incredibly fast-paced, urgent, high-stakes, but human and alive story.
Best friends.
Yep. A new episode of New Amsterdam airs tonight, 10 o'clock, and that's on ABC.
We had him in the studio. Nice guy.
Let's do the next one. In the Marvel series The Gifted, an ordinary suburban family is challenged with everyday tasks after the children develop mutant powers. And here Grace Byers talks about why this character is special to her.
Paige is my hero. Honestly, she is a woman slash mutant who totally believes in a vision and believes in creating something that, yes, we've heard before in the X-Men world, but she is rising up and she's deciding that if somebody's going to do it, it's going to be her.
New episode of The Gifted airs tonight, 8 o'clock on Fox, by the way. And there you go. It's my entertainment report for you this morning. We got a bunch to get to this morning, so I want to go ahead and take a break, come back in a second, and we'll dive right into it. Don't forget, Birthday Bucks is up in less than an hour, as close to 8 o'clock as we can get it. We're going to pass along a word to you that might net you $1,000 from WMMR. Do not miss your opportunity. Daylight breaks. We'll be back in a moment. Stay there.
Preston and Steve
on 93.3 WMMR.
So we're taking this trip to London at the end of the month, and the Birds are playing in England. We will be there for a couple live broadcasts, and thought it might be an interesting idea if you had some suggestions, if you had some connections of noteworthy people that we might want to get in touch with and see if they want to come on our radio show.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Maybe you know somebody that's got a connection into the acting world that that is in England or in London in particular, or maybe the music industry or...
The royal family.
Whatever it may be, something notable that you think might be interesting as we get a taste of London while we're broadcasting live. And you can contact us here. Email any of the show members, and we'll take a look and see if it's something that makes sense. I mean, we've reached out, and we're working on some things, but we have, you know, a vast resource with the thousands and thousands of ears that are listening. Maybe you know somebody who's cool that we should get on the show.
Yeah. Exactly. We're not doing that. You know, we don't do this every couple of weeks, so we might as well, you know, shoot the works, as they say, and see who we can get while we're over there.
Yeah. I also like, you know, because I've been doing, as we all have been, you know, doing our research. All right, well, what do they do over there? So, like, you know, morning radio, like they have the
Why do they talk so dumb?
No, the BBC, like, all right, so for instance.
What do they
like,
do over there?
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I don't know. No, never mind.
The BBC.
Just the way you put it was funny. Go
okay.
Ahead.
Like, they don't have a Fox Good Day. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have that equivalent. Like,
they do, but they have, they're like, you know, morning.
It's national.
There's just a couple of them. So you're right. You have BBC One and BBC Two, and then you have, like, Viking. But if anyone can explain, you know, it's a little bit more regimented, and right. there are less options. Remember, well, I was actually, if you've ever been over there, have you ever been over there?
Never.
Okay, so the TV is an interesting thing, you know, over there and what they have going on. So they don't have the vast amount of options that we have here. At least that was my experience, and that was just a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. even with their cable system. Sky, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, any connections, really, anything you think might be legitimate, send it our way.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, so, like, for example, the Freddie Mercury biopic, or not Freddie Mercury, it's the Queen biopic coming out around that time that we'll be there. Man, would I love to get, you know, like, Brian May or John Deacon or any band member or somebody who is associated with that to
producers.
Get to come on the show, or someone who's tied into Abbey Road Studios. These are all things that we're reaching out to, but you might know somebody and point us in the right direction.
I actually reached out to Brian May's camp yesterday and got a nibble. So who knows what will happen, but if we don't ask, we'll never know. And, you know, I'm interested in tastes of London, people that work at Royal Albert Hall or work at Abbey Road Studios, or, you know, somebody who is the, you know, the changing of the guard at Buckingham Palace.
Yes, flavor, honestly, all of that stuff, somebody who might be you know, related to Winston Churchill or whatever, you know, give us what you got, and we'd love to check it out.
Yeah. They're equivalent of the guy who eats all the hot dogs, Chestnut or whatever.
Absolutely.
Let's get that guy on.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. Is he available?
I don't know.
It's just fish and chips.
But sure, yeah.
It would be, or haggis or something that they bring that down from Scotland.
Mm-hmm. Or even a place to do our broadcast. Something like that.
Yeah, we'd like a place to broadcast from.
Well, we have.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Listen, everything's coming together in an incredible way that at this point in time, we're just weeks away from finding out where we're going to be putting our equipment.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a done deal, guys. It's a done deal. Just give me a few more days, and then you'll have nothing.
Wait, but hold on. Wait,
pretty much a done deal.
You can't blame him for London.
No, just the calendar
shoot.
Yeah, you can blame him for other things.
I'm just equating it.
You're just tying them all in.
All right, so anyhow.
We need a scapegoat.
It's coming up at the end of the month. Get in touch with us if you would like to. real quick, I wouldn't mind touching on this for a moment. There's a news story that Kathy was reporting on earlier down by Boathouse Row. Somebody went and tied a rope to a statue and drug it into
The river.
A statue of Thorfinn Karlsefni.
Do we know the history on Thorfinn Karlsefni?
He was a Viking.
I do.
What is his story?
Well, the only reason I know is that I went to Iceland in the spring, and he's a national hero there.
Okay.
And then there were the explorers from Norway and Iceland who made their way, like, Erickson is
Leif Erickson.
The most famous. Yeah.
And Gus.
Inga Dinga. Yeah. And he was the most famous, but, and Gus Erickson, of course. Yeah. So these Icelandic explorers came to the States well before Christopher Columbus did.
Sure, yes.
This guy was one of those national heroes and an explorer.
I think I was wrong with Inga Dinga Dinga. It's from SpongeBob.
Okay.
They have Leif Erickson, Dave. My kids would know. Carter, call me. Parker, call me. Let me know. But it's there's a little greeting that you
Inga Dinga Dinga?
It's something like that.
So, anyway, this a large statue, which we have to assume is has some weight to it.
Yeah.
Pulled off the stand and into the river.
And I don't know why. But I was curious, do you ever stop and take a look at a statue?
All the time.
And see who that person was?
Yes.
Nope. Yeah. I do from time to time because I'll go, okay.
Who's that?
Somebody thought this person was worthy enough to create a statue and put it here and have it try it, you know, stay forever.
Who's this idiot?
If you will. Because Rochelle and I, when we had our summer vacation, we went and stayed, did a night in the city, and we stayed at the Logan, and there's a statue right in front of the hotel. It's huge. And I'm like, okay, let me go see who this guy is, because I could see it from our window, and I was like, okay, when we go out, I'm going to go take a look at the guys. He was some Polish patriot. of sort, or I don't know who he was.
And it's right on the parkway?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if it's in front of the Logan, it should be Wolverine, shouldn't it?
Wouldn't you think? Right? The Logan?
Yeah.
I mean, it writes itself.
Right there, yeah.
But I took a moment to say, okay, who was this individual? And then, of course, I just went about my business and forgot about it the rest of the day, and I don't even remember who it was.
Do you read the historical plaques around the city and all that stuff?
Occasionally, I do.
So when I was, I walked through, you know, my area now, Mount Airy and Chestnut Hill in Germantown, and there are all sorts of those all over the place. I mean, Germantown is considered the most historical street in the country. So I was walking by this place yesterday, and I'm looking there. There are divots, you know, in the wall, and I look down. There's a plaque that says, what you're seeing are the bullet holes from the Revolutionary War.
Wow.
It's just right there.
That's
right.
Cool.
Right out. I mean, but, I mean, you pass it, you know, I would never have known had I not have stopped and read that plaque.
Hey, you
thank
know
you, plaque.
I don't stop to read plaques or statues or anything like that, and it's just for one simple reason. I won't remember.
Yes.
I won't remember any of it anyway, so why even waste my time?
You didn't know what they do over there in London.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's interesting in the interim. Like, even if it doesn't stick in your brain forever, I find those facts interesting enough to pass the time, and I'm like, oh, all right. So I didn't even know there were Icelandic explorers here. So if I don't remember long term, then I might enjoy it in the moment.
By the way, people are texting in. It's Inga Dinga Durgan.
Inga Dinga Durgan.
Inga Dinga Durgan. But Casey, the one of the questions we had in Bucksco versus Delco was about one of the towns named after a was it Lincoln's girlfriend or something like that?
Well, that's my town. Yeah, well, Rutledge.
Rutledge was named after what? Because I saw that plaque one day. It's on a post.
Early childhood sweetheart, Ann Rutledge, which is probably actually it's misinformation. But it's anyway.
It's enough to put on a plaque.
Yeah, it's a plaque.
Because it's literally on one of those where you, if you're sitting at a light, there's a plaque that's up on a pole that you can sit there and read while you're still in the car.
You know, it's kind of cool. And I finally got to see it, you know. If you go along the Wissahickon Trail down by Old Bells Mill Road, you know, and you go in there is a point along the trail where there's a plaque that points to. It says there is a statue of an Indian, a Lenape Indian, up on the cliffside looking west where the Indians eventually, you know, moved out of the area and moved west.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool. I mean, I'm there and people are going, I see it. You know, it's just exciting.
There's one at, if you take Market all the way down to Front Street, and it's right before you head towards Penn's Landing, there's an Indian standing, I think on a turtle or something like that.
Yeah.
That is significant as well. And I used to
There's a legend associated with that, a classic legend associated with
it. It's a statue?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's right there. It's there.
Turtles brought Indians to the
area.
They rode mighty
herds of
turtles. Yes, herds of turtle herds. Now, mind you, it was a slow migration.
Yeah, it was.
And then finally,
I'm liking the horses.
Right.
I got to tell you.
Right.
But I tell you what, up and down, up and down Kelly Drive, there are just loads of statues. What I've wanted to do, actually, was
pull them into the river.
No. I wanted to do...
One down!
I wanted to do a Da Vinci Code type of thing.
Oh, really?
Using the statues as clues, but it would take a lot of work.
Well,
and I'd really have to take several weeks to go down there and go to each one and figure out and have clues lead from one to the other.
There's a guy...
I would like to do that sometime.
There's a guy named Snorri along there.
Snorri?
Yeah, he's either Icelandic or Norwegian, and the only reason I remembered is because his name is Snorri, but there's a statue of him, and I think it's near this one that was dragged into the river overnight.
There's one that we were actually checking out at the beginning of the play up to the Super Bowl with the dog thing, the underdogs.
Yeah.
Remember we were going to go to that statue that's off of Lincoln Drive? There's a guy with a dog next to him.
And
mind you, I'd been driving Lincoln Drive for quite a while. I'd never seen this thing until someone mentioned it, and it's there.
And we were going to do some kind of game around there's a statue of Dad Vale along there as well. He's the guy on the skull.
Grace Kelly's dad?
Oh, I don't know.
They're named for Kelly Drive. So Grace Kelly, Princess of Monaco. Her father was Kelly. John?
Chip Kelly.
But not Chip Kelly.
Wait, there's a statue of him?
I'm asking you if that the guy rowing is that.
No, that's Dad Vale.
Oh, okay.
That's the guy.
I didn't know there was a person named Dad Vale.
Do you know that huge statue? It's like the Colossus of Rhodes standing across the river. That's Kelly Ripa.
That's Kelly Ripa?
I did not know that.
Hang on a second. Zach is on the line. Hi, Zach. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's okay.
All right, man. What's up, buddy?
Hey, so I can actually answer two of your questions now. The first question you had was, who was that Polish patriot out in front of the hotel?
Yes.
That's Thaddeus Kosciuszko. He was the chief of engineers for George Washington, the American Revolution.
Wow.
And then he ended up going back to Poland to help try to liberate the country.
Oh.
But then he came back in disgrace after failing the rebellion. And then the other statue you were just asking about was actually, it is Grace Kelly's father, I believe.
So it's not Dad Vale. Okay.
Nick was right.
Yeah, so I don't know who Dad Vale is, but that's definitely Grace Kelly's
dad. Well, Dad Vale is actually, he is the individual after which the Dad Vale Regatta is named.
Right.
And so is there any sort of statue that memorializes him?
I don't know.
Or is it just Snorri?
No, that's my knowledge.
Wow, you have a fair amount of knowledge of these statues. Is that kind of a hobby of yours?
Not really. I just was a history teacher.
Well, let me ask you something. Do they sometimes upset you to the point where you might yank one into the river?
Not statue. In fact, that's one of my favorite statues down there.
I tried to interrogate him to see if he was responsible.
It's pretty cool looking because he's got this big shield across his back.
It looks cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll be able to get him out of the river.
I don't know. Yeah, I wonder what I don't know how far deep into the river it went. So.
And how heavy it is.
All right, thanks, Zach. I appreciate it. No, there's a lot of cool statues. I remember there was a myth about statues, and it turns out that it's not true from what I understand.
That they're alive at night.
No, well, we know from the movie.
Night at the Museum.
Is that when you see a person on horseback, that there was, and I've been told this has now been debunked, that if... depending on the horse's stance, it meant something. Whether they were killed in battle, whether they died, that were not due to injuries and so forth. It had to do with whether they were rearing up or if they had one hoof off the ground.
And this has been disproven.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's actually a cool.
Yeah.
What does it mean if you are just standing straight up on the turtle or hanging 10? Does that
with your toes?
Yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
What does that mean? You know, it's a really wonderful statue is the Irish immigrants.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a really beautifully done. It's off of New York. It's off of the island. No.
Oh.
It's right in Old City. Yeah, right, okay. Right in Philadelphia.
That one I don't know.
You never saw that one?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Nope.
Okay.
You pass by it all the time.
Dad Vale is a person. It's not Grace Kelly's dad.
Who is it?
I'm sorry?
Dad Vale. It is a person.
Oh, I know.
Oh, okay.
No, but that statue is...
But the statue is Grace Kelly's dad.
Oh, got you.
It occurs to me we should probably go look at more of these statues.
Okay, so the regatta is named after Harry Emerson Dad Vale for his years of coaching at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So,
and who's Chip Kelly?
I thought that statue... I thought the statue was of him.
Got it. The statue is of
Grace Kelly's dad.
Got it.
Everybody clear?
All right.
And correct me if I'm wrong now. There is a statue of Irish immigrants right down by Delaware Avenue, correct?
Where?
I don't know.
Down by the Regal.
We don't know.
Cinema.
But maybe somebody does.
Just a block and a half away.
I know there's a really
There's
good
got to be.
There.
All right. Hang on a second. Let me go to.
I'm losing it.
Let me go to Bill. Oh, I just hung up on Bill.
Billy,
I have Ann. Hi, Ann. How you doing?
Hi. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Well, John Kelly was actually Grace Kelly's brother.
No. Well, yes and no. The one we're referring to is John Kelly Sr. And so she had a brother named John Kelly as well. Her father is John Kelly.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought, okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sorry.
All right. So in this statue of John Kelly we're looking at, I assume, here?
Yes.
What exactly is he riding there? Because it looks like a Pringle.
I think that's supposed to be the water.
The water,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And right. It's just a section of the boat that he's in.
Or was he able to row so fast that he did not need an actual skull?
Maybe he didn't. I don't really know.
That's why they made a statue of him.
That he was mother effer does not even need a canoe.
So there's a statue, Steve. It's a memorial. It's called the Irish Memorial.
And All right.
It's in the part of town that you're talking about.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a lovely statue.
Well, anyhow, it might do you some good to stop and actually look at a statue and maybe read whatever plaque might be there.
That's how we know so much.
Who the?
That's why we have all the accurate info.
Jesus Christ!
Glad I don't waste my time.
It's almost an embarrassment that we live in this city and we don't. You know, I think you're right, though, Preston. Stop and check it out, at least
just
to some
to see
degree.
Why groups of people decided that it would be a good idea to memorialize this person in that form.
Also, don't hesitate now and then to throw a rope around on it and attach to your boat hitch.
That why is intriguing to me as well. What the hell is the point of dragging a statue into the river?
But, you know, when I heard the news report it this morning, they reported it as if, like, here we go again. Now, there was only one other incident, but... Yeah.
There's a lot of statues still being pulled down for various reasons, whether you had to down south with the Confederate yes, statues and things of that nature. And if they believe, well, you know, there's a it's kind of the thing. But this thing seemed like, what's that about?
Why? Yeah.
Hey, what did Rizzo do that was so great that he gets a statue?
I
he was just a really popular mayor. I mean, like he was larger than life in a bunch of different ways in stature.
Yeah.
And so because of his tactics, he was well known. He left his mark. Good and bad, and deserved a statue as a result.
Yeah.
You're a real crumb bum.
And he gave us that.
If that, honestly, I would give him a statue just for that.
For crumb bum?
I'll take you out back, butchers.
Yeah.
My arms tied behind my back.
Yeah.
I'll pound you into the pavement, I will.
That whole audio, you look like a lush to me. He's telling the reporter. Yeah.
Would you care to talk to CBS? You look like a lush. I'll pound you into the pavement.
You want to relive that?
Yes, I do.
All right, Casey's finding the audio of Frank Rizzo when he was confronted. He wasn't happy about it. He was out walking his dog, and there
maybe the Viking was the Nordic Frank Rizzo.
They were confronting him about
eat a crack of lush to me. What's your story? I hit you with my shield. I'll take you out back and heal you. Hit you with my shield.
Yeah. What are you?
Yeah, crumb bum.
You can't find a case?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, let's
here
try
you go,
this
crumb
one.
Bum. Go,
yeah.
Crumb bum, see Frank Rizzo.
It says Rizzo.
See crumb bum.
This says call Stan Bowman. Here
that's,
we go.
Yeah, that's it.
There is a Stan Bowman from Channel 3 News. Could we...
how are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Good.
Could we talk with you for just a moment?
No, I'm busy.
You couldn't answer any of our questions?
I wouldn't talk to you under any condition.
Why is that, sir?
Forget it. Scram. Get out of here.
Sir, I...
Scram. Hit the road. Yalusha.
Why, Stan, I... Get away from me. I'm now a private citizen.
Yes,
you
sir.
Get away from me.
We're allowed to be on the streets, sir.
I don't want to talk to you. Get away from me.
How do you feel about the security guards
get
being
away
taken
from,
off of you, sir?
Get away from me or I'm going to throw you out in the middle of the street.
Sir. Gonna throw you right out there. One more question.
I'm telling you, get away from me.
You were the symbol of law and order in Philadelphia, sir. For many years, people looked up to you and respected you.
Look, creep, get out of here.
How could you justify your actions at our cameras last Monday in front of your
get
house?
Out. You're a creep.
We're a member of the media. We'd like to have an answer to our question.
You're a creep.
Why did you attack our cameras, sir?
Get it all. Don't miss any of it. You're a creep. Get away from me.
Would you answer the question?
Dude, he had great pipes.
He really did.
Listen to his voice. Get away from me. He could do movie trailers.
This weekend at the community cinema punks.
You're a creep. Get away from me.
Would you answer the question?
You know, you hide behind that press card.
I'm not hiding behind anything, sir.
Well,
I just want to get some
what
answers.
To do. There's a gang of yous here. There's enough of you here. By myself, I'll take you physically.
Well, I'm not asking you to take me physically.
Well, get away from me.
Well, sir, I'm on the public street. I should be authorized to be here.
I'll break it off.
I'll break it off. Physically and mentally.
Yeah.
I'll get inside your brain.
This is after he was mayor.
Yeah.
You know? You think he'd be happy in retirement.
He didn't care.
Big dude, though. Yeah. You see him next to the reporter. He's a big dude.
Yep. Hey, get away from me.
I think the statue. He has a statue. Right? One-to-one scale.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll break it over your head.
Hang on. Let's go back.
I'll break it over your head. Get away from me, you crumb. That's a challenge, except I'll put my dog away, and I'll come back. And you got 1, 2, 3, and I'll do
one,
it
two,
along
three.
With
you. Follow me.
Yeah.
Let me just put Fifi back in the house. Come on, Fifi, heal.
It is kind of a little dog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three.
No?
No.
I can't see the dog. Oh, no, I was wrong. I was incorrect. I thought he had a little poodle with
Daddy loves you.
Yeah.
Daddy loves you. Give me big, give me love monster kisses.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to come back and kill yous all. Beat you to death with a tire iron and then dance in your blood.
Who wants you to do? Who wants you to do?
Can put you in the house now. All right, don't be scared. Daddy has to go kill the bad men.
I'm coming to kill you now. Don't come back. Did you lose your chew toy? Did you lose your chew toy? It's under the sofa. Yeah. Wait right here. Daddy needs to go kill a reporter. Yes, I know.
Talking.
Yeah, get up in the living room window. You want to see Daddy kill the bad men?
Yeah, that's right.
Sets him up where he's got a nice view of the street.
I'm doing this for you.
Yeah.
Two, three, and I'll do it along with you. In that back of that fence, just the three of us, four of us, me and you.
Four, five. I tell you what, call some of the family members. Bring them out here too.
Show you what kind of a man you are. You're less than a man.
You're a less man.
Okay, you're a crumb creep.
A crumb creep.
You're a moon creep pie creep crumb. You're creme. You're creep brulee. That's what you are.
Creep brulee.
Brulee. Yeah. As if someone's taken a little, one of them little torches and fried the top of your head into like a caramelized sugary thing. You are creep brulee. You know what you like? You like one of them fancy desserts with a thin shell on top, but underneath you just pudding. Just pansy pudding, creep crumb, pansy crumb, creep creme crumb, brulee creep creme. With sugar on top.
Come here, puppy.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't take that off of nobody. And there's three of you and I'm by myself. And when it's over, there'll be nothing to it. Win or lose, okay? But you don't have the courage. You're a real crumb bum.
There's the clip.
Put that on camera. You're a crumb bum, the three of you. And I challenge you. You're a coward.
At this point, they've just shut up.
They just let
because
them
know. They are like, we are getting gold right now. Uh-huh. Just let this roll.
Put that on camera. You're a crumb bum, the three of you. And I challenge you.
He wouldn't talk earlier. I'm not talking to you, right? I'm not talking to you.
On, yeah.
And you're now, Stan Bowman hasn't said anything for like 5 minutes.
He actually fell asleep. What are you, Stan? Are you asleep?
Wake up.
I'm sorry, I had a long night. Where did your dog go? I put him inside, didn't you see? There he is, and they're looking in the window there.
You're
found,
a coward.
He found his little duck. He likes that little duck. He chews that little duck. Now I'm going to kill you.
You're a yellow sneak. Ooh. And if you want to, now what I say, let's forget all the rules of this great country we live in. I will go back to that wall with the three of you.
See that wall
me.
Over there? That retaining wall over there.
Yeah.
That to the left of the house. No, that's a fence. That's not a wall. Don't you know what a wall is? That's a picket fence. It's perpendicular. Oh, let me show you.
We had it built 3 years ago.
Yeah. All right. Actually, did a good job.
What, next to the trash cans?
Where is this, by the way, when this, because this, I'm trying to figure out where this was.
What neighborhood?
Yeah.
That's a good question. It's a nice neighborhood.
Crumb Creek.
Crumb Creek.
It's not Crumb Creek. Crumb Creek.
Oh, boy. All right.
Let's forget all the rules of this great country we live in. I will go back to that wall.
Let's forget all the rules of this great country
we live in. And of humanity in general.
Yeah. All right.
Let's forget all the rules of this great country we live in. I will go back to that wall with the three of you. Just me.
There is a
You're
out
a
here.
Crumb creep coward. You can't take. You don't. You won't stand up to him.
I'm standing up. We're not here to fight. We're here to get some answers to some questions. That's
answers,
all.
I want to fight you.
Why is that?
Because you're a crumb creep lush coward.
You don't.
By crumb creep.
He keeps adding on.
Lush coward.
It started with one. Then
and
two, now
you're
he's
a Methodist.
Now he's up to four. Yeah.
What?
He's up to four.
I don't know. I'm running out of desserts and various disgusting things.
Are you keeping a list? Do you know? Like, okay, you're a crumb, you're a creep.
Wait a second here.
You're yellow.
I keep a list for things like this. You are a jackass crumb, creme creep, cram crumb. Oh, that's the wrong list. That's the potential dog names.
Thinking about getting another one, huh?
It was in there.
Hey, wait, hold a second. Honey, where's my reported bad name list? It's in the closet. No, I looked in there. I was looking for the dog's chew toy. I'll get back to you. What's your number? Give me your number.
By the way, Mercy.
I remembered it.
By the way.
He gets a call late at night.
No, he calls him back later on.
Better call this guy up. Yeah, yeah. You're a yellow crumb snake.
Have a lovely
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Have a lovely evening.
For that creep.
Oh, you creme crumb creep cram. You're an apple crumb creep cake. A la moron.
Yeah, that wasn't that good.
Scratch that one off.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's...
I think when I try to do French desserts, it doesn't work out. I stick with the German stuff.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad we revisited this.
Oh, my God. I'm getting tears on my glasses here. This was in Chestnut Hill, Steve.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
I said that 5 minutes ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's all right. I was laughing too hard.
I know.
So, Nick, it's not Gene Kelly?
It was Chip Kelly.
Gene Wilder.
It's at 8919 Creffeld Street, Chestnut Hill.
Next that was Crumb Creek.
That was his home.
Yeah.
All right. We only have like 20 seconds left of this. So let's do this. Because we got to get to the birthday bucks.
Yes.
Right here in a second. All right. Anyway.
Why is that?
Because you're a crumb creep lush coward.
You don't even know.
Crumb creep lush coward. All right. 4. Here we go.
Hey, Mayor.
You are a lush. I can tell by looking at you.
Oh, God.
I was a cop all my life, and I know a lush when I see one, and you're a lush. You're going to have a hell of a story on that one. Play every word of it, Crumb.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Yeah, are you hungry? You want to have some lunch? Charlie Carr Cafe's just up the road.
Yeah.
it's one of those things. I never get tired of stuff like that. And when they come across, like, you know, there's a collection. They're less monumental now because there's so many of them that are caught because of just the nature that everyone's being recorded all the time.
Yeah.
So that, you know, whether it be on a cell phone or people are just caught, you know, whatever.
Yep.
So that the impact of something that was on broadcast television.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. What was he even trying to get out of him? Why was he there questioning?
Somebody told me one time it had to do with.
He was using the accusation was he was using. A taxpayer money for a driver or something.
Yeah,
of that
no, but
nature.
I think it, resources. I think it was right. A run-in. It was a run-in with another media member. That's what this guy was talking about.
This original conflagration, so to speak, was based on a little altercation he'd had with CBS reporters
right.
a while ago.
Okay.
But that was part of the same investigation.
Well. It was nice to revisit, and there's a statue, and that's how we got started on this.
And yet we still have no reason as to why the other statue was yanked into the river.
Not yet, yes.
Yeah.
And by the way, who wrote this? Did you write this or Marissa?
Marissa.
Marissa did. She wrote, I want to start a campaign to get a blue historic plaque as MMR's original location at Rittenhouse Square.
That's a great idea.
That'd be pretty cool. With 50 years under our belt, that certainly seems viable. I still want to see a mural.
Of Gary Lauer.
No.
Yeah,
dude.
Those wheels are in motion. not the Gary Lauer one. John Lediker.
Yes, our muralist.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a mural of MMR, specifically Pierre. I think he's earned it.
Yeah, John was speaking with Bill and Chuck D'Amico and was going to see if we can make an MMR mural at some point. Because John's done several in the city, including one with Casey.
Would we have Gary Lauer in that
no.
mural?
No, we would not.
Absolutely.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Anyhow, listen, we got to take a break because we want to give away $1,000. We do have the birthday bucks coming up in just a moment or two, and we have the bizarre file, so we'll get to those things. And at some point this morning, going to give away the MMR Tuesday Tailgate Primo prize pack, and that's $100 Primo's Hoagie's gift card and a case of beer as well. So we'll do that at some point during the program. Taking a quick break. Back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us, all right?
Get ready for MMR's Birthday Bucks Part 2. Proving you can have your cake and eat it too. It's your shot to win $1,000 cash 5 times a day. Each weekday, tune in at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. when we announce that hour's winning keyword. Enter it via the newly revamped MMR app on your fancy thinking phone or at WMMR.com. You've got until 15 minutes after the hour to get in. One random entry will be picked to win $1,000. MMR's Birthday Bucks Part 2. 5 times every weekday at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m.
Sponsored by Sprouts Farmers Market. Now open in Broad and Washington.
Complete contest rules available at WMMR.com.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Follow!
I got to have my mic on. This morning's B-File is brought to you by Bates Motel. This Halloween, get to the number one rated haunted hayride in America. At the Bates Motel in Glen Mills, three heart-pounding attractions, discount coupons at Dunkin' Donuts, and you can buy tickets at thebatesmotel.com. You may have heard this, and I remember hearing rumblings of this a little while back, but it's official. An off-duty Border Patrol agent was ordered to pay $220,000 in restitution on Friday after he accidentally started a 47,000-acre wildfire at he and his wife's gender reveal party.
Oh, no.
We were talking about this just a while ago. Well, so, this holds the record now for going poorly.
Yeah, so the 37-year-old Dennis Dickey pleaded guilty to the misdemeanor charge of causing a fire without permit after he caused the April 2017 sawmill fire in Arizona. Once they give your fire a name, you know it's bad.
Yeah, yeah. The sawmill fire.
All right, so Dickey reportedly shot a target containing tannerite.
Oh, my God.
An explosive substance designed to detonate when shot by a high-velocity firearm. You may have seen videos of these things. They're huge explosions.
Insane.
All right, so the colored powder was going to reveal the baby's gender at the party that was in that explosion.
What about a box full of colored balloons?
Right, right. Or you just tell everybody.
Yeah.
It's a girl.
It's going to be a girl.
Tannerite has reportedly been linked to past wildfires. According to his lawyer, Dickey immediately called law enforcement and admitted that he started the blaze. But 40-mile-an-hour winds that day caused the fire to rapidly spread. Almost 800 firefighters worked to stop the fire over about a week, which cost the state around $8.2 million.
Oh, my God.
Where is this?
This is in Arizona.
Well, there goes the kids' college fund.
No injuries were reported and no buildings were destroyed. Since Dickey was only charged with a misdemeanor, he will likely keep his job. Dickey told the judge it was a complete accident. I feel absolutely horrible about it. It was probably one of the worst days of my life.
Did they ever reveal what the gender of the baby was?
Not in this story.
Fire. Come on, man.
Fire.
It was a fire.
Well, it's gritty.
Yeah,
it's gritty. Yeah.
Right. But, this guy, he dodged a bullet, so to speak.
Because oh, my God.
There were no structures and no people got hurt. Had that happened, he'd be going to jail.
Yes.
He'd be absolutely going to jail, but it's a misdemeanor. So.
I saw a joke on Twitter yesterday that they did name the kid Blaze.
Nice.
Yeah.
A Sacramento woman has been arrested of, this is horrible, of trying to extort money from families of missing children, including the family of Lashaya Stein, who disappeared in July of 2016. Listen to what this woman would do. So 23-year-old Rosari Young was arrested after getting caught in an undercover prostitution sting. She had allegedly agreed to meet an undercover officer in exchange for sex for $120. During that bust, investigators found text messages and exchanges with two families. Young is accused of threatening to hurt Stein, this missing girl.
Yes.
If she wasn't paid $2,000. Young had told Stein's mother that Stein owed her money. And in part of a text between Stein's mother, Sabrina Jones, here's what she wrote. So Rosario Young, the girl who is extorting these people, said Lashaya is safe and well taken care of. And then the mom writes, where is she? Please, I miss my daughter so much. I cry every day.
Oh, my God.
And then she keeps writing, please, I will die without her. We love her so much. And then she writes, Lashaya, owe me money for losing my ass. You gon' pay me back or she gon' work for it. And I'm reading this verbatim.
Yes, yeah.
And if she tried and run off, he gon' get what he deserved. You get police involved. You'll never see her again. And then she writes, what did she owe? Just please tell us how much. She owes over $2,000, but we can work something out to get her back. I'm tired of hearing her crying. Young writes, and I must repeat, you get the law enforcement involved, the deal will be off. Sabrina Jones stopped communicating with Young and reported the information to police immediately.
Yes.
Police can't comment on the case. It's being investigated by the FBI. Lashaya Stein, the girl, by the way, is still missing, and there's a $15,000 reward for information in the case. Now, this woman who was doing the extorting is also accused of reaching out to the parents of Elisa Yeoman. Young told her parents that she wanted to get paid or Yeoman would be hurt. Yeoman was reported missing in March of last year, and her body was found in May of last year. So she was going after people who had missing children, pretending as if they were still alive and being held.
That's effed up.
That's a new level of low that I've heard. That's horrible. All right.
Something happy.
Let's go to something else. Prosecutors in Los Angeles celebrated an odd milestone this week as they handed the first prosecution of a man who was cited for DUI while riding on an electric scooter while intoxicated and knocking over a pedestrian on a sidewalk. And I think they have these scooters that you can rent all over the city. Yeah. So
sorry.
Nicholas Kafroff.
Ow, my leg.
Nicholas Kafroff had a blood alcohol level more than 3 times the legal limit when he was operating a Bird electric scooter when he knocked down a 64-year-old man while riding the electric scooter on a sidewalk in West L.A.
I was riding around looking at statues.
The pedestrian was leaving a theater when he was knocked over by Kafroff, suffering an abrasion to his knee. Kafroff didn't stop to render aid, instead continued down the street to a nearby apartment building. When police were called, they eventually found him, took him into custody. A blood draw taken at the hospital showed him with a blood alcohol level of 0.279, 3 times the legal limit. That's pretty damn lit up. He pleaded no contest operating motorized scooter while under the influence and 1 count of hit and run. He was ordered to pay a fine of $550 of restitution. He was also placed under 36 months of probation in order to complete DUI program.
How good are these electric motorized scooters?
Not sure. They look pretty cool.
They do look pretty cool.
You can't use scooters anymore while drinking. Drinking while operating a vehicle, a bike, or a scooter is not only illegal, but can lead to serious injury or worse. So they're definitely being serious about it. And then one more story, and we will wrap this up. Let's do a short one. I like this one. In Lincoln, Nebraska, police cited a man for drinking an alcoholic beverage in the back of a police cruiser.
Oh,
cracking open a cold one.
Yeah. So, but listen to what happened. They were actually, the guy hadn't committed a crime. That's not why he was in the back seat.
Right.
So the incident happened just before midnight. The Lincoln Police Department said they found 38-year-old Reuben Rollins intoxicated on the street trying to get to his brother's house. They offered him a ride. And that's when they heard a can open in the back of the cruiser. And they saw him drinking Hurricane Malt Liquor while he was back there.
Was that a crime?
Well, it is. Yeah, he was cited for having an open container of an alcoholic beverage, and he was sent to the county. I mean, in some areas, you technically can't be outside with one.
Right.
And I guess
that's wild.
He thought that he was, you know, like
in a limo.
I'm
okay.
And,
yeah.
You know, so
once around the park.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right, we shall take a quick break. You got 5 minutes left. Our word for you to send in this morning for MMR's birthday bucks is skip, S-K-I-P, and you have to do it with our mobile app or at WMMR.com. So you want to do that right now because you got about roughly 5 minutes left, and one winner is going to get $1,000 in our company-wide contest. So we wish you good luck, my friend. We're going to talk to Joe Mantegna this morning,
the actor.
Criminal Minds has its 300th episode coming up.
Oh, my God.
Scotty Hartnell retired from the NHL yesterday. We will talk to our friend a little bit later on this morning as well and see how he's doing. We'll come back with more. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. When you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
This was sad to hear. A woman named Peggy Sue Guerin died. Peggy Sue will forever be remembered in association with Buddy Holly because of his song bearing her name. She passed away on Monday at the University Medical Center in Lubbock, Texas.
Yeah.
Of course, is where Buddy Holly and the Crickets were from. And she went to high school there and stayed there. And she was 78 years old.
So she was dating one of the Crickets, right?
She was, yeah.
Okay.
She dated Jerry Allison, J.I. Allison.
And Buddy Holly wrote the song and went with that name. I always thought it was somebody that Buddy Holly himself would have been involved with.
It was originally Steve named Betty Lou, or not Betty Lou, Cindy Lou. And that was Buddy Holly's niece. And he just used the name. He liked the rhythm of it. And it was eventually changed to Peggy Sue because it was, you know, the guy started dating the girl.
Yes.
I don't know why they, you know, said, let's go with this. Maybe he thought it would be neat to give her that.
I'm a huge song. Buddy Holly fan, you know, of the original. He was an innovator, and there was a lot of just really cool stuff that, you know, and even though I know Paul McCartney is not a fan of the Gary Busey version of, you know, the Buddy Holly story, It's a solid movie. So, but that song and all stuff. I mean, these are, you know, foundational moments in rock when this stuff's
Yeah, it's a great song. And he was a great songwriter. He wrote hit after hit after hit at the time.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you know why I feel blue without Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, Kelly. I love you.
There was a big resurgence with that song and interest in her when the Buddy Holly story came out in 1978. She said that people began asking about whatever happened to Peggy Sue. Magazines and TV shows were once again interested in the girl behind the song. And I, Marissa, grabbed this clip because I love this. This is a quick reference. It goes by fast if you don't notice it. And Almost Famous, when they're in the plane,
of course,
Buddy Holly died in a plane crash. And, you know, the plane scene in Almost Famous, they almost crash. And so all of a sudden there's a lightning strike and it shakes. And then Russell starts to give a little reference to that. And I had Marissa isolate this. Here we go. He's kind of light about it at first and joking around.
And then it turns south quickly.
Very serious, very quickly. Best line in that whole thing is, I'm gay!
And then,
oh my God!
We are okay right now, everything.
Oh my God.
In fact, in that movie, that's the only thing the drummer says in the entire movie.
Really?
Oh yeah, he's like the guy who just always kind of, you know, gestures and nods and smiles and stuff, but that's the only time he speaks.
I never noticed that.
That's the only line in the whole movie. Garen and Allison, by the way, the guy from the band, Jerry Allison, who was in the Crickets, were married through much of the 1960s. They later divorced. She went on to Pasadena Junior College in California, becoming a dental assistant, and she would remarry and had two children and multiple grandchildren. And I guess she ended up back in Lubbock at some point.
You know who she married eventually? The lead rapper in Two Live Crew.
No way, Luther.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
I'm sure Easy had her as well at some point, but. They
face down, ass up is also about her. So.
she was known for was a ham radio enthusiast.
She was a ham radio enthusiast.
Yeah, she was fascinated in talking to people that she had never met from around the world.
You know, it's wild because growing up, my next door neighbor, he was the classic Sheldon type, from The Big Bang Theory. His name was Anthony, and I swear to God. He had, you don't know what's going on in people's homes or in their basement. The basement looked like every, prepper, radio, maps, the whole thing. And then eventually on the top of the roof of the house, he convinced his parents to basically, it looked like a large, so two large X's connected with wires. The thing had to be like 15, 16 feet tall. Bolted into the roof of the house. Whoa. It was their ham radio antenna.
Oh my God.
Wow. And so he would get on there and talk to, I mean, this is well before, cell phones and things of that nature and sat phones and all that.
Steve, did his map have strings that were tied to pegs?
It did, yes. And there one went go. To Peggy Sue.
Peggy Sue. No,
but there was, so he was, where he had talked to and people around the world. There's still a little bit of a fascination with that.
Sure.
Picking up somebody on a radio that way.
Yeah.
You know?
It's kind of mysterious.
And in times of disaster, it's one of the few ways that messages can get in and out of an area.
Right, yeah. And you can broadcast and receive signals from very, very far away. So, interesting. Yeah. I always thought ham radios were kind of cool. And speaking of pork.
Yes.
There's a new viral trend. About sausage.
Sausage?
Sausage.
People have discovered that sausages can scream while being cooked.
What?
Oh, my God.
Have you ever microwaved a hot dog or sausages? And they'll...
It screams.
It almost sounds like that frog.
I think the sausages are done.
Numerous videos of sausages and hot dogs being cooked either on stovetops or in microwaves have started trending due to the screechy noise.
Oh my God!
that the meats make when they are cooked.
Wow!
In most of the videos, it doesn't appear that the chef is doing anything unusual to the sausages. They're just cooking them at high heat, and when they shake the pan, The screams start to happen. So this is the latest, you know, planking.
The latest
video.
I don't make sausages at home. I used to
I do sometimes.
I like them cooked well done.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm in the minority in the room preferring sausages to bacon.
No.
No?
Meaning you do or don't?
I prefer sausage to bacon.
For my breakfast meat, of choice, sausage over bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Scrapple over sausage?
No.
What about
Never.
You?
Never.
You know what? I just said that. I don't necessarily know. I do love me some scrapple. But
I got to be in the mood for it.
Genocide over waffles?
No.
I got to go with waffles.
Waffles are much more pleasant.
Well, yeah. I've always said that waffles, the only problem with waffles is that they're too hard to butter. So you need
I have a product suggestion. If you could flatten out your waffles and make them round.
Do you remember the squirtable butter used to come in it?
Spray.
Is that what?
There's an actual liquid, almost like the way you dispense mustard.
It was more back in the 80s, probably. Oh, yeah. And if you had a waffle, you could go blink, 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 blink in each little.
Okay. I had a waffle.
Each little crevice.
Eat it in the morning.
Parkway. Need butter in every little square?
You do.
If you're a man. No. Okay. I obsess about little things like that.
Okay. So your answer is yes, you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, butter.
Look at this.
Butter.
Third row, fourth square in, yeah. Empty.
Now, I'm not beating up on you, but this is an observation about butter. And the times that I've gone to breakfast with Casey or we've gone to a diner and he gets breakfast or something along those lines for lunch, he will specifically ask that the toast is buttered while it is still warm.
Yes.
Yeah. Because so that it actually melts in and covers the whole thing. But I never think I wouldn't ask for that, but he does. So it's one of those things that and then that's when I told you, well, if they give you those pats of butter and they're not, if they're still cold, you just set them next to your coffee cup and they kind of.
That works. But also if you just take those pats of butter and you hold them in your hand, the your body warmth will make that butter soft.
If you put them in tin foil and nestle them between your ass cheeks.
Yeah, you sit on them.
Nice flounder. By the way, I have a butter memory with Preston that is probably 19 years old. Do you know what
butter
it is?
Butter memories.
Butter memory.
Preston, do you remember the butter memory?
That's probably 19 years old.
19 years old.
Butter memories. You would have to give me a hint.
Okay.
Because that's too
etched into the squares of my waffle.
That's too vague.
I just don't know. I don't want to give you a hint that gives it away.
Then I'll never get
it. All right. Here's your hint. It's me, you, Steve, and Marilyn.
That wraps it up.
Butterfest 1998.
3 years together.
Media Court Diner.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know the butter memory?
Yeah.
Do tell.
So we're sitting there, and it's after we had done a show, and we're having lunch, and
all just getting to know each other, by the way.
Yeah, we're all getting to know each other. And so they had a little ramekin full of butter, which is a small dish. And so I guess it was a ball of butter or something like that. And we're just talking, and I just reach out and grab it and just squish it with my hand just to be outrageous.
Provocative.
I'm like, ooh, butter.
Yeah.
And I did that, and he died laughing. So.
I was like, what? I wish I would have done that.
That
looked fun.
Another stupid thing I'll do, if there's a tape dispenser, you know, like regular Scotch tape, a friend of mine used to do this. I'll grab one end of it and just run across the room and just do a whole thing of tape all the way across the room just to be stupid because it looks funny and it's unexpected. So that's your butter memory of the
day,
folks.
Butter memories.
But if I owned a diner and I was...
I dine in the morning.
And I was serving waffles, there would be a special little spray that I would put melted butter in so that you could go...
You would keep it, like, you could even have it as, you could have the way you have a mug warmer where your butter could be on it and with the pump so that you could dispense that
now way. It would need to be more like misty.
Like a fire hose?
Like a
spray bottle.
Like a spray bottle, like you would spray your indoor plants.
Like a spritz.
I disagree.
I think that the butter, like the spray butter, you're lessening the quality of the butter product. And if you're going to have like actual butter, you're going to need to have like a vat of melted butter. This is your diner, so I'm not trying to tell you how to run your business.
You open your own diner next door.
I'll do build your own goddamn diner.
Normal, boring pats of butter.
What if you had innovative? Nick, I think what, Nick, what you're saying is that there should be a 2 to 3 100-gallon tanks full of butter in
melted,
the basement.
Melted butter.
With, well, a, with a fire source underneath them all.
You can come to my diner.
When you order lobster, they bring you a little ramekin of melted butter. How about that, Casey, just for your toast, and you just dip your toast
in? Yes, I would like a Romulan of butter, please.
Yeah. That's a little too much butter.
I kind of want to work with you, like almost like as if I was your therapist, and to make you okay with not having butter in every square. Like, it's all right.
No, I know.
It's still going to taste good. You're going to get enough butter.
Believe me.
I've touched some pictures. He had to have butter in every square until a concerned therapist came into his life. My name is Romano. I think I can help you.
Then we need some good music, like
yes, Peter inspiring. Gabriel,
Salisbury Hill.
Salisbury Hill. Yeah. See if you can pull that. So the serious part when he realizes he has a problem.
Oh, no, I can't even get it together anymore. Every time I go into the diner, I start trembling like crazy. I think I know someone you can talk to. And then she came into his life. My name's Romano, and today's the day we start making changes. From Touchstone Pictures, the story of a boy who learned now how to not have butter in every square of his waffle. Butter squareless waffle boy.
Butter squareless waffle boy.
Something to that effect.
Yeah.
It's like, butter therapy.
I feel like I already went through this with Jace. Yeah. Like at breakfast time. It's okay, honey.
Unbutterable.
Is that the name of the movie?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm eating the waffle without butter. Can you do something about the impotency?
Oh, my God.
Unbutterable.
Hang on. I want to go to Casey. Her name is Maddie. So have your finger ready on the Maddie button, if you will.
Okay.
So, hang on. I got to turn it back up here. All right, go
Maddie.
Ahead. All right. So, Maddie, you're on.
Maddie.
Hey, Maddie.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. It says here you're a server in a restaurant.
Yes, I am. And so about the, like, having the waitress butter your bagel for you or your toast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know it's not that big of a deal, and the customer obviously doesn't think about it, but honestly.
You can't say that word.
Potty mouth.
Maddie.
So every waitress talks
smack. Ill. Smack. Speaks ill.
Customer.
Yeah.
And so, like, because if you got, like, 5 or 6 tables and they all get toast and say, like, all of them want them buttered for them. I mean, it's just so much. And, like, I mean, as a good server, you should bring the food out hot anyway, so it should melt on it.
No, that's a good point. If the toast is brought out and it's hot when it comes out and you can just butter it yourself and it melts, I agree with Casey. Yeah. I like the toast hot. But
how do you expect to earn your 20% of my $6 bill?
No, but listen, what she's saying is if it's busy, you're going to have to sacrifice maybe the warm toast because it's hard for all that stuff to come together at the same time.
But this is why.
And toast cools off very, very quickly. It's not like, you know, pasta, which will hold some heat for a while or something like that.
This is why heated butter hoses at each table would make all
Thanks,
the sense
Maddie.
In the world.
Appreciate it.
Maddie!
Do you have heated butter hoses at each table? And you do have ATMs, correct? Fall activities! From Touchstone Pictures.
Oh, no.
The name's Romano.
I love my music.
Let me go to, I'm going to go to Zoe on the line. Hey, Zoe, good morning.
Good morning. I have a butter issue.
All right. Please share your butter All issue right. here.
Then a therapist came into my life. My name's Romano. I can help you with your butter issue.
I can help her, too.
Well, doctor, you know how some people have, like, the fetish about, like, popping pimples?
Yes.
But, mine is really like with the packet of butter and, you know, and sometimes even the ketchup little packets.
Yeah.
But so when they're on the table, they give you the little packets of butter.
Yeah.
I need those taken away from me. Why? So that, you know, don't pop them at the table. And so I didn't want my son to see me doing this.
Wait, what? Zoe, back up a minute. What do you do with them?
Well, I want to pop them.
You want to crush and pop the little them. The little foil wrapped pads
not
of butter.
Not the foil ones, but the but the plastic ones.
So there's the plastic ones.
Yes, with the top. Okay.
I didn't know you could pop those. I think I have an issue now myself.
See, and like how Preston just wanted to squish that butter, like he just thought, oh, do that, but yeah.
So if you sat that stuff on the table, Zoe would be like Roger Rabbit when they're doing shaving. Just going crazy and not even. That's interesting. And she said the same thing with the ketchup packets, too. She wants to squish them. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, and the ones that are foil wrapped, then I really want to stomp on them on the ground.
Oh, you really do have issues.
From Touch Cell Pictures, the story of a raving lunatic no one would ever take to the diner until a young therapist came into her life. The name's Romano.
Come with me.
Wow, Zoe. Interesting. So you and you're so ashamed of this, you don't want your children to see you doing it.
I don't want them to waste food and see that, you know, oh, mommy's wasting food and I can do this. Oh. But one time we were at Knoebels and there already was a butter packet on the ground.
Oh. So you stomped it.
It was already wasted. And so I said to my son, listen, this is already wasted because it's on the ground and it's just...
She has said, such issues. So, this is my...
All right, hang on. So you told him and then you stepped on it?
And it was a good hard stomp, yeah.
And what kind of satisfaction do you get out of that?
Oh, extremely, yeah.
Is it sexual?
It's like popping a water balloon.
Oh,
know?
Okay. So it's fun and pranky.
Or like the bubble wrap.
It's like bubble wrap on 10.
Okay.
So Preston, hey, almost
you.
Like
I understand you.
You do?
You get it?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I do understand that.
Ooh. What about coffee creamers?
It doesn't have the squishiness.
She likes the squishiness of the butter on the inside.
It's too liquidy.
You know what I used to do when I was in high school with coffee creamers at like Wawa?
I used to drink them.
Yeah, me too. But what you would do is I would puncture my teeth into them and it would be like
pop, a little like boom. A vampire.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Yeah.
Hang on, Marissa wants to get in on this. Marissa,
I have the same issue with those squeezy ketchup bottles, not the ones like the Heinz, but the ones that are all red with the pointy top.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Refill.
Yeah.
Like if that's at a table, I have to squeeze it.
Is part of it the sound the that comes out of there?
No. I think it's just something about the squeezing. I used to leave notes for the waitress in ketchup on a plate until I realized how obnoxious that would be.
Marissa, I would do the same thing because I love it. They have a really thin, you know, hole in the nozzle.
Yeah.
And what I do is because I like a lot of ketchup when I have fries, is I will start right by the fries and squeeze and see how far away I can pull it and how big of an arc I can make.
Sure.
I try to come like, you know, full length of my arm and I'm still going.
Yeah, it's like an arc.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, one of the best scenes to watch, if you like that, is the scene in Dumb and Dumber when they are eating the super hot peppers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love those old style mustard, that kind of squeezer. We used to go to a place, I think I've mentioned it on the air before, it was the Hamburger Choo Choo in Huntington. Had a train that would deliver your hamburger for, you know, for the kids, and making the little designs with the ketchup on your burger was just the best.
What do you think about when you go to Hibachi, though, and they have the fake one that shoots a little string out?
I had one of those. I got it at the Magic Shop at Six Flags Great Adventure. It was one of my favorite things I ever owned.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I have to get back to Hibachi. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Thank you, by the way, Zoe. We appreciate you admitting that.
Yes.
Yeah, you're quite welcome. And may I suggest that you all take the little ketchup packets and give them a good squeeze.
We'll give it. Maybe we'll get you in here at some point.
Yeah. We should have you in here, Zoe. Yeah. Maybe you could show us how to do it the right way.
Yeah.
And
weird food fetishes.
Thanks, Zoe.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
By the way, Press, I do something similar when I pour my coffee every morning at home. Put my creamer in first, and then so I don't have to stir it up.
Right.
I use the propulsion of the coffee into the mug.
Yeah, the weight of the liquid going in, the higher you go, the more
and that stirs
velocity
it.
It's going to have. And that stirs it up a little bit. I can see that.
Pouring something from up on high is sort of a, to me, I think of myself as a World War II bombardier.
Yeah.
And, and that, you know,
trying to hit it just right.
Judge, and I'm pretty good, I'd have to say.
Yeah.
I also sometimes...
I could have flown in the Memphis Belle.
In the bathroom, if I have to pee really, really bad, I will, I'll go into the urinal, and then as I'm going, I'll take a step back and see how far back I can go.
Right.
And still
have you ever gotten out to the hallway?
No, but I've gotten all the way up to the, you know, where the stall is? I've gotten all the way back to where the stall is.
Did we try to have you pee over a car one
time?
No,
I probably back in the day, but I've lost them. I've lost a step in my old feelings.
You never piss over the car anymore.
You know,
it's like losing yardage in golf, Casey.
Yeah. Preston, there was a video, and this was from years ago, and you showed it to us. I think it was of a guy clearing a car with his pee stream.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
And I think we were looking to see to replicate that.
That's impressive. Casey,
you of all people would be able to do that now.
Could you, Nick, or is it just simply duration?
I just think I have volume. Okay. I have a large bladder, and I can hold it for a long time, but... I don't think I get that much distance. I don't think my distance is extraordinary.
You don't have the pressure.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
Side note, you remember when Greg Scarrotto would pee in the bathroom?
Well, he would fart while he peed.
No,
we know that.
The pee stream was like a waterfall.
Sorry, I fart when I piss.
I'd like to hear him and Rizzo pissing next to each other in the men's room.
It's a real crumb bump.
Yeah.
I fart when I piss. Me too. You got a dog?
Casey, the thing I was going to bring up was, pouring beer from height. Do you ever, like, a carbonated beverage, like a pitcher of beer from up on high down and, like, trying to pour it into somebody's glass?
Mm.
It's really difficult. And the carbonate,
too much foam, though.
Way too much foam. Mm-hmm. But it's if you can do it, it's fun. It just takes a lot of effort, and it rarely works.
Years ago at Dunkin' Donuts, which is one of my earliest jobs, there was a counter server there. She would do the full grab the coffee thing in a pie and you know... And
I love it.
Like rock the tips because she was She was the Tom Cruise cocktail equivalent of Dunkin' Donuts.
I could see that. I'll bet you there's baristas out there that do stuff like that to get some tips.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go to Lisa because she had one job.
One job.
Hi, Lisa. Job. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. You guys work.
Thank you. You work. What's up, Lisa?
I, in high school, many years ago, my only job at the diner was the toast girl. The servers would come in, give me the orders. I got two whites, a rye, and a dry wheat, and I put all the toast in the rotating toaster, and I would butter them and give them to the servers.
You were serving a vital job because when I going to a diner, I always get whole wheat toast or multigrain toast, and the buttering process, the whole thing is essential. So you saved a lot of lives.
Well, I messed up a lot, too, let me tell you that. Oh, my God, they would get so mad at me. But
would you,
Casey's point.
Go ahead.
So I would start in the morning, say 6:30 in the morning, and I'd get the butter out of the fridge, and it was in this big tub. But by the end of the morning, it was completely liquid. So I'd be slopping the butter on the toast.
You're getting me hungry.
Ripping off the toast.
Wow.
All right.
I could see that.
Yeah.
But you know what? You need a better system. But all right. Well, thanks, Lisa. I appreciate it. There was a place I used to go to, a restaurant in St. Louis called Lion's Choice. And they would toast the buns for the roast beef sandwiches. And they had this thing, Casey, you would like this. It was like a roller.
Yes.
In a vat of butter. And they would just run the bun across it real quick.
Yes.
And then you'd toast it. But now that was melted butter. It wasn't like spreading... You know, like a butter on and then letting it melt on.
Yes.
But you know, I don't know if you could do that after it was toasted because you might crush. Because when things are toasted, they're a little more rigid and they can crunch. And I don't know if that would ruin it.
I'm wondering if Friendly's, I don't know if there are any Friendly's left these days. But
it's one in the Springfield Mall.
Okay, so Friendly's would have these slightly toasted burger rolls, slightly buttered. And they were excellent.
By the way, makes a huge difference. If you're making burgers... Little butter on the bun, toast the buns. Oh man, oh man,
it's excellent.
So good, yeah. You put them flat down on a pan or a grill or something. I guess a grill would work too, and it makes a difference. Always toast your buns.
Always toast your buns.
From Touchstone Pictures.
Here we go.
The bun toaster.
All right, anyhow.
I have an idea. I think it's going to revolutionize the hamburger industry. What is it, son? I want to toast the buns. Get out of here, you idiot!
That's me in a meeting with Ray Kroc.
Yeah.
He just didn't take
the
idea.
Dream wouldn't die.
Yeah.
And then he met a young therapist. The name's Romano.
All right, listen, we should take a break because I know we have Scotty Hartnell coming on in just a few minutes at 9 o'clock. And then right after that, we're going to talk to Joe Mantegna. So we need to move along. But anyhow, I don't even know how we got started on this. We're talking about toast and things like that.
All over the place.
I should, however, can I give this away, Casey?
Yeah.
All right. So I want to take, we've been talking about so much food this morning. We're going to set you up with the Tuesday, the MMR Tuesday Tailgate Primo Prize Pack, which is a $100 Primo Hoagies gift card and a case of beer. You have to be at least 21 years of age, so we'll take caller 21 at 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget, you can score big when you serve Primo Hoagie trays on game day. Click contest at WMMR.com for a giveaway schedule so you know when to listen next week to win. And that's from Primo Hoagies. It's not just a hoagie. It's a Primo. So caller 21 will set you up. Be back in a moment. Scotty Hartnell on the program. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I told Marissa this would, a part in Wicked Garden would be a good loop. There it is.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently we already did it one time. I love that game. It's a fun game.
It is. A lot of fun.
I would suck at it if I were on the other end and did not know the answers. It's hard.
It is.
Yeah. I've actually been, so I don't know the answers when we're doing it. I think you do pretty good.
Well, maybe I'll have to try this.
Well, you know, well, one day we'll let you play.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be nice. Hey, I have a phone call to go to, and I believe this young woman's name is Jenna. Hey, Jenna, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Jenna, where are you from?
I'm from Olney, Pennsylvania.
Only?
All right.
So Berks County or something.
And can you do me a favor and tell us what makes you so special today?
Well, today is my birthday, but other than that, I won $1,000.
Oh! Oh! It's your birthday? Today's your birthday, Jenna?
Yes.
That's freaking awesome.
That's fantastic. And it's called MMR's Birthday Box.
It's all tying together.
I absolutely love this. So, yeah, Jenna, you said it right. We have $1,000 for you. Congratulations. Pretty simple to win, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Nice. What are you going to do? You got a grand. Something fun or something practical?
Probably practical.
Okay. Well, save a little bit for fun.
Yeah.
It's your birthday. Yeah, Pierre always says buy yourself something on your birthday.
And he's correct about that. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, Jenna, a very, very happy birthday. That's a good way to start the day. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. You guys rock.
You rock. Yeah. All right, Jenna, guys, get another winner of $1,000 in cash. The next opportunity went to win, excuse me, to win is coming up at 11 a.m. Pierre Robert will have your chance, and then at 1 and 4 and 6 p.m. today.
What's the best thing that's ever happened to you on your birthday? Is there anything that sticks out in your mind?
The birth of my son.
The birth of your son.
The birth of my pretend son.
I don't know. I've gotten some great gifts over the years, but you obviously have a memory, or else you probably
No, I don't. I'm trying to think. Our country's independence? I mean, maybe I won best costume at the 4th of July parade or something like that.
We were talking about Brian May earlier. Sorry, Kath. Brian May came in on my birthday in July of 2010. I needed to figure out when he was here. It was 8 years ago, but it was on my birthday, which I thought was pretty cool. Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm remembering Fish. Played in Philadelphia on my 25th birthday. That was pretty special.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. On my birthday, I got the phone call that officially Jace was our son.
Oh, yeah, now.
Okay, you win.
Well, that's hands down.
Yeah.
Can't compete with that.
Yeah.
I think I got a new golf club.
Yeah.
Real quick, if you guys don't mind, I'd like to do a couple of shout outs and butt plugs while we're waiting. By the way, we moved. Scotty Hartnell is going to be on right after we talk to Joe Mantegna, who we're supposed to have on the next minute or two. But we wanted to spend more time with Scotty. Our former intern and good friend of the Preston and Steve show, Donnie Benov, we used to call her Intern Rush because she's a fan of the band Rush, is having a double mastectomy today. She's going through some cancer, and she's getting the treatment that she deserves. So she's going through a surgical procedure today, and we wanted to give her some love this morning and wish her well, and she's going to be great.
She's awesome, Preston. Yep. I've talked to her a few times since her diagnosis and, comparing notes, and she's awesome. Her attitude is so good, and she's been very proactive, and she has a lot of top-level medical care. We really thought the world of her before, but
yeah.
her fortitude is just unbelievable.
We wish you well, Donnie. We love you. We miss you. And we'll see you when you heal up and get in.
Yes.
Here. All right. So come by and see us. Can we do a shirt for her, please?
Yes, absolutely.
If you do not mind. Here's another one that says, hey, my name is Andrew, and I'd love a shout out for my brother Patrick and his soon-to-be wife Marissa, who will be married on Saturday the 6th. We all love your show. Listen every day. Patrick even got his first tattoo on your show. It was a large howling wolf on his shoulder, and he loves showing it off to people. You guys rock, and that is from Andrew Wells, so here's a shart. Here is... How about this one? I thought this one was kind of fun.
It sounded like Kiss.
This one is from Becky, and she says, I'm writing in to ask a favor for my WMMR-loving fiancé. Ryan is a huge fan of your show. One of our first events together was actually the Camp Out for Hunger when Steel Panther performed. And they called me out of the crowd on air as their, quote, 18th girl in a row. it was a short while after Ryan and I first started dating, and I swore I was never going to go to another Preston and Steve event. Well, but that didn't last long, of course. On Sunday, October 7th, I will be celebrating. We will be celebrating our 9-year anniversary.
How about that?
Yeah, and this will be our last anniversary together before we get married in June of 2019. She said, "I was curious if this Friday, October 5th, you could give my fiance Ryan Fickinger a big shout out." Well, I can't
That's
hit him
today
on
no.
the date. No,
so for all today. Intents and purposes, today is Friday.
Today is Friday, October 7th, and hoping he will hear it on his commute to work. Thank you so much from Becky Williams. So a shout out, if you will, please.
About that.
There you go.
That was for you, Becky.
From the man himself.
Gene Simmons.
Right. Quick plug of the butt, if you don't mind. And this has a sad note to it, but a good cause. Says, my name is Kelly Donas, longtime listener, and I always appreciate the work you do for the community as well as spreading word for great causes. This past July, my family unfortunately suffered a horrible loss, the suicide of my sweet brother, David Matthew Danas. He was 41 years old. In his memory, though,
yes.
My family and I are walking this weekend in the Out of the Darkness Suicide Prevention and Awareness Walk in Philadelphia. If at all possible, could you give a plug for the cause? No obligation for donations. I feel just spreading the word is such great help. Of course, the charity welcomes any and all donations of any amount, every penny cost. My team name is Davey D, but donations to charity without choosing a team are possible and greatly appreciated. So that's from Kelly. Unfortunately, Kelly didn't send me the information about the walk this weekend.
I emailed her back and forth, but she wants us mostly to focus on the walk itself.
Yeah, so, I appreciate
yeah.
that. But just to let you guys know, and we'll definitely plug it, do we have the information coming?
Yeah, or? The Suicide Prevention Walk is this weekend.
Okay, so if you do want us to plug an event like that, it's easier if you can get us the who's, where's, what's, and why's and stuff like that, just the particulars.
If that comes in the form of a link, even if it's just a Facebook link to a page you've set up, that really helps expedite the process, and when we announce it on the air, people can go to it quickly and participate.
So we will we'll have that up on the community portion of the Preston and Steve website. Our next guest is on the line. Over the years, we've talked to him many times, and now that's fake. That's fake Italian. But he is on to promote the fact that his show, Criminal Minds, it has their 300th episode.
300th.
premiering tomorrow night at 10 o'clock on CBS. That's a lot of shows.
He's one of the. He's just one of the best.
Oh, and were we going to play this clip, Casey?
Yeah.
Here, this was from the Waterboy.
Waterboy's killing him. Best tackler I've seen since Joe Montana.
Joe Montana was a quarterback, you idiot.
I said Joe Montana.
Oh, okay. That's who they meant, and he's on the phone. Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah. My dear friend Adam Sandler. I love that.
Nice. You and Sandler are buddies?
Well, we did the movie Airheads together.
Oh, my God.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And also, I hosted Saturday Night Live prior to that, so that we already had a connection. So I have a feeling that, you know, that wasn't just like out of the blue.
It was an homage.
Yeah.
Well, let's just start right at the top here. This is a massive achievement. 300 episodes of Criminal Minds. You joined this series in a ways, but you still have been there for a tremendous chunk of it. Is it you cut a cake and move on, or is it still an actor with your credentials? Does it still blow you away to be a part of something like this?
No, it really is. I mean, you know, it's funny. Many years ago, probably about 15 years ago, my dear friend Dennis Franz, who you all may remember as the wonderful role he did on the NYPD Blue.
Yeah.
And I think he won like 3 or 4 Emmys for it. He and I, and we moved out to California together back in the late 70s. And I remember him telling me after his whole experience on NYPD Blue, and I was basically just doing movies at that time. And he said, you know, Joe, I hope you get the opportunity someday to get on a series that you like, because you'll love it, because it's so much like what we came from, meaning the theater company that we worked together for 5 years in Chicago. Where he said, you know, you'll work with the same people, the same crew, and you'll learn to really be comfortable with that, because all the travel and all the different things of the lifestyle you have now, it's great. That I know you're tired a little of that. And he was right, especially as my kids got older and stuff like that. I was really looking for something that had a little bit more continuity, a little more stability for my life, and that's what happened. And so once I got on the show, I found that, and to be able to go home every night for the last, for me, 12 years is a big deal. I mean, because it's like, you know, my job doesn't define my entire life, and it allowed me to be, I think, a better father, a better husband, a better, you know, in that respect. Because the life of it's like being a gypsy when you're just doing movies and stuff like that, which is also wonderful. I did it for a long time and don't regret any of it. But I like the lifestyle I live right now.
Well, acting in general is it's a risky proposition. You're going from job to job. It can be very transient, very nomadic. And, you know, and it's interesting that you and Dennis Franz came out together. You both have success. And what I never really thought about as far as an actor's life is, I'll bet that you have tons of friends who are very talented, were coming up at the same time as you, but didn't have the success that you had. And that's got to be hard for both sides, I would imagine. For the guy who sees his friend taking off, you're happy for him, but it's bittersweet. And the same thing where this is a real talent, and unfortunately this person isn't having the same success that I am.
No, without question. But a large, you know, if I look at the circle of my friends, so many of them include that group. Mm-hmm. And we all get it. I mean, we're all at an age and been around long enough to understand, look, things happen sometimes just the way they're going to happen, and there's sometimes not a lot of logic to it. And you're exactly right. I mean, I have some friends out there that are tremendously talented, and there's no reason why they haven't had the degree of success that, let's say, I've had in this business or that Dennis has had. But, you know, sometimes it's just little things, little circumstances. There's a little something where first of all, it's talent isn't the only criteria in this business either. There's a whole other thing. I mean, like, I have some friends that are so talented, they make your head spin in terms of once you see what they perform. But a lot of times, if they walk into a room of just strangers people who are maybe that they have to be dependent on and guiding their career, they can't quite handle it. You know what I mean? They have this kind of like, ooh, it's hard for them to play the game a little bit. When I say to play the game, I mean you got to kind of adjust to the environment, kind of understand, okay, you know what I mean? But put people at ease and all that. I have some friends that, like, they don't put anybody at ease. You give them a shot, and all of a sudden, oh, my God, this person is, like, brilliant. But It's a difficult thing. It is
the luck of the draw in many cases. It's also talent. It's also you getting out of the way of things and just letting life happen.
Exactly.
But I mean, you know, you've honestly, the people that you've worked with, and I'm sure, you know, for I'm a huge fan of David Mamet, and you've had a long, you know, professional relationship with his, and the stuff is that you've done with him, you know, that the comfortability you talk about that you have on Criminal Minds and the comfortability that you have, I assume you had that and have enjoyed that with him as well. And a lot of people in your life professionally.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, like sometimes when I think about that, my whole relationship with David, I think I feel it sometimes like that guy back in England who just happened to be the guy that, you know, lived like down the block from William Shakespeare, who was an actor, who, you know, when Shakespeare was writing his stuff, said, "Hey, you know what? I think Eddie would be good."
Shakespeare's good friend Eddie, yes.
Yeah, and he kept calling Eddie, you know, back for these roles and stuff like that. So, I mean, some of that is, in a way, is the luck of the draw, because we both, you know, David and I both grew up in Chicago around the same time. We're 18 days apart in age.
Yeah.
It was just fortuitous that he saw me do some things in Chicago at the time. He was struggling as a writer, and I remember distinctly the first day I met him, when I ran into him on the streets of Chicago, he basically said, "Hey, I saw you in a play last night. I really think you're very talented. Someday you're going to do plays of that, you know, mine." And I'm thinking, "Who's this nut guy?" Great, thank you. You know, and then little did I know that later on he'd be the skin.
Well, you were in the first iteration of Glengarry Glen Ross, correct?
I did the original production. Yeah, that changed my life. I mean, the show won the Pulitzer Prize. I won the Tony Award all within like a couple, you know, months of each other, and it absolutely changed my life, at least my career life.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I'd been around as an actor. I've been professionally as an actor about 15 years already at that point, banging around. And I remember being asked at the time, what was it like to, you know, be in a Pulitzer Prize winning show, winning the Tony Award? I said, "It's like playing the lottery, but I've bought a lot of tickets."
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, I've been buying tickets for 15 years, so.
Well, it's been paying off.
Yeah,
and 300 episodes, and the show keeps remaining relevant and vital, and you have a great ensemble. And
it's on constantly in my house because it runs constantly, but no, we just want to congratulate and remind people the 14th season premieres tomorrow, 10 o'clock on CBS 300 episode. It's good stuff. Joe, always good to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming on this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. Right,
take care. Much. Joe Mantegna.
Yeah. Hey.
He's great. I could talk to him for an hour.
Hope we can get him in the studio sometime.
We will have to do that. Well, the next guy in our lineup here has been in the studio.
Yes.
On a number of occasions. And we've met at various events and stuff. He's been very supportive of our endeavors, including the Camp Out for Hunger over the years. And we appreciate that. And didn't we help him fund a cooler one time?
We sure did. Yeah.
We did, correct.
Yes.
Yeah. But he's retiring. We got word of this yesterday. Retiring from professional hockey after a great career. And he was a big part of Philadelphia as well. Please welcome our friend Scotty Hartnell to the program this morning. Yo, bud.
What's up, guys? How are you?
We're good. The question is, how you doing, man?
I'm wonderful. I'm retired life for day two.
Yeah, day two.
So far, day two and all is good, right?
Yeah, life is great. So.
Wow. Hey, you know what? Listen, when did the retirement scenario start to enter your head? Was it last season? Was it over the break? When did you start thinking about this?
When you met us?
Probably during the year last year. You know, it was just I can tell that maybe it's getting a little slower, and kind of the league's changed to a small kind of fast skill game, and players like me kind of are a dying breed, I think. So. Mm. Kind of maybe hit me middle of last season, and then this summer, you know, was training and, you know, thinking I could do another year of this. But, I think my body and mind was kind of done with it. So
Not everybody has that Jager gene in them.
Yeah. No, I can play mid-40s, that's for sure. He's still playing, too.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Yeah.
And was it an easy or hard decision for you? Because we spoke to Brent Celek, who also retired, and he was telling us that it was a really, really hard decision for him.
It was really easy for me. The grind of
of training, of working out, you know, what you put in your body. It's kind of went to the next level on how these young kids prepare. And, you know, I wasn't prepared myself to kind of commit to that. So, you know, 17 years in the NHL is a fairly long career in, yes, in the hockey world. Very, very proud of kind of what I accomplished. I didn't win a Stanley Cup, but, you know, for being an entertainer and all that kind of stuff, I thought I've made some people's night. So it's been awesome time.
Can you talk about the differences between playing in Nashville and playing in Philadelphia? I know you had a stint in Columbus as well, but Nashville really has become a great hockey town. Obviously, Philly has always been a great hockey town. What were those cities like for you?
Well, Nashville, I was gone 10 years from when I left Nashville to go to Philadelphia, and boy, had the city changed. They got about four or five brand new skyscraper hotels. I think it's Bachelorette Capital, even beats Vegas right now for people going in there and partying, and just the energy around the honky tonks in the arena. It's just incredible. And, you know, from them not knowing hockey down south, I always said this, that they cheered so loud when you took a slap shot and it hit the glass and made a loud noise, they would cheer, you know. But now they've, know the game, and obviously the team they have down there, they're lost to cheer for. So, in Philadelphia, my best years were there, and, you know, fans are crazy. They're supportive. They're, up and down, but, they always got your back. So, I played some cool cities, and even Columbus had a heck of a time here as well.
Well, talking, and Kathy, brought up Brent Celek, and his take on it was he needed just a little bit of time just to collect his thoughts. But, now he's proactive on a whole bunch of different things. So, he's now entertaining a number of different avenues. One of them actually includes, real estate and things of that nature. What do you plan to do, something, that is sort of, tangential to the sport itself? Or do you see yourself doing something entirely different?
Yeah, I could see myself, staying in the game in some aspect. I don't think coaching or, jumping into that right away would be good for me. But, I got my feet up right now. I got a coffee in my hand. I'm like,
it's not too bad.
Well, we got a new mascot that people say looks a little bit like you. You could maybe be, Gritty's brother or something like that and come back to Philadelphia.
Isn't that weird timing that, he's skating around the ice and me and him haven't been seen in the same room?
Yeah. I hadn't even thought about that. You do look at Pete, like, honestly, who's got a better situation than, like, Bernie Perrant or the ambassadors of the game that stay in, and that are just revered? I mean, you're beloved in Philadelphia, obviously you have other options as well, but would we ever end up on the radar as a point of destination?
Yeah, I think my wife's family is actually from the Philadelphia area, and we have a 4-month son that we just had, and just kind of, obviously with help and all that kind of stuff with family around is really important to us. So, I wouldn't be surprised if we make our way back, and whether it's, kind of an analyst on TV or with the Flyers or whatever, there's a lot of options, I think, that are there for me. But, I don't want to jump into anything right off the bat.
Sure. Some decent golf courses for you to play here, too. In fact, I saw the Philadelphia Cricket Club had tweeted out wishes to you. So there you go, dude. Come back and play all you want.
Yeah. Or.
Scott, it was funny because Gritty made such an interesting splash in this town and really in national news last week. And he was on Fallon and they were talking about him on Colbert and John Oliver and SNL. He was everywhere. And on his first night out on the ice, he slipped and fell a few times. And I saw on social media, just hashtag Hartnell down when Gritty hit the ice too.
Oh, that's great.
And not to harp on the point, but it was pretty phenomenal. Seeing people immediately associating our new mascot with you.
Yeah. I absolutely love. I love the idea. I love all the media attention it's got, and I think it's something that kids will always go to now. Where's Gritty? Where's the big mascot? And I love him and the Fanatic dancing the other night.
Yeah, it was great.
I don't know how much time you spent on social media yesterday, but one of the funniest things I saw was a supposed video of you coming down the steps to make your retirement announcement. Did you see that?
No, I haven't. I will today. I'm going to
take an hour and go on and look at all the comments.
it was great, and it's I mean, I'm not surprised that that there's been such a response to your announcement yesterday, because you know what you did here in Philadelphia, and the fans loved you here. That was pretty great. One of the things I had. I'm surprised. I'm just learning now after such a storied career is that you had terrible gas for your entire career. In fact, did you make one of your teammates so sick with one of your farts that he actually didn't play in a game?
Well, I don't know if it was the fart or he just got an onset of the flu, but I do have some bad-smelling gas. You can ask anyone that I played with, but there's nothing better than farting on the back of the bus and having everyone be like, oh, my God.
Yeah, no, that is the stories are plenty.
It was Scotty Fartnell for a little bit, right?
Really?
Yeah, Scotty Fartnell was what I saw on social media as well yesterday.
You're Casey's hero at this point.
You're now my new favorite player.
You and Casey are kindred spirits here. Oh, my God.
One of my not funniest moments, but in Pittsburgh, there was a guy that had a Flyers jersey and number 19 or whatever, and the back of the name bar was fart smell.
Yeah, that's good. Yes.
That's good, yeah.
Hey, you know, if you tell us you take pictures of your turds, you and Casey could be separated from birth. Yeah. This could happen.
I do have a Flyers P turd that I...
That's right.
Yeah, I sent that to you, Preston.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah.
That's honestly, though, on the ice, that could provide extra velocity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like
a lot of powers.
It's like an afterburner. Yeah.
So with that, you knew your announcement was coming after the season ended. Did you just did you go anywhere special? Did you take some time off and really unwind a bit on a whole other level?
We got a summer place up in Canada, out in BC, and you know, it's always kind of our happy place, relaxing place. And you know, I just kind of, I don't know, I stopped working out. I fell in love with tennis. I've been playing lots of tennis here lately, and yeah, just kind of just enjoying life. I enjoy my little son. It's nice to be around, you know, every day with him. So I can't complain about life right now, that's for sure.
Do you see yourself introducing a new type of tennis that involves checking?
That would be kind of interesting. They're in Canada, they do have like tennis on ice.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
I played tennis against you one time. This was at the
Villanova.
Yeah.
Ah.
And
how'd you do?
I beat him.
Ah.
No way.
I think so. Well, we're just going to stick with that.
He doesn't remember. We're just saying
rematch.
Rematch. Nice. No, that's cool. So you have that to kind of be you know, a hobby and hang out and play and so forth. How has What did you not expect with fatherhood that you've seen so far? I'm sure you love it. Everybody does, but it comes with its own set of issues.
It's amazing. You know, right now we're trying to get him to sleep through the night, and we're at night four, and he's kind of gotten better and better. You know, the first couple nights, it's an hour and a half of, you know, the shrieks that just, like, carry you right down to your core. And,
yeah, right.
And last night he almost made it through the night. So he's learning, and I don't know. It's just, you know, I thought I had life made, you know, before, you know, being single most of my career. You have money, you can do whatever you want. And, you know, having this little guy in your arms falling asleep, it's, you know, it's heaven. So,
oh, that's amazing. That's so cool.
Yeah.
You just know that whatever he has you thinking this week, he's going to change it. So if he sleeps through the night, you know, for a couple of days and you're like, okay, we got this made, now he's going to switch it up on you.
Yep.
We've learned that. We've always celebrated, oh, we got the best baby in the world. You know, like a couple months in, he had a good stretch. We're like, oh, we're parents of the year. And then, you know, next night is just absolute hell. So we've learned not to celebrate, you know, the little accomplishments too much.
Hey, since I'm sure you're on diaper duty, does he take after daddy like we just talked about a moment ago?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're stinking already.
Stinking already. There you go. That's my boy.
Scott, I know now that you retired, maybe you want to get away from it for a little bit, but here in Philadelphia, we're pretty excited about the hockey season starting up, and we got JVR coming back to town. I saw that he tweeted congratulations to you yesterday. Any thoughts on the Flyers' upcoming season, or you just not care at this point?
No, I'll be following. You know, definitely got some good buddies there, Claude and Jake and Simmer and, you know, all those guys. So you want to see, you know, good people do well, and
A lot of great guys on the Flyers organization, and you know, I think they got the speed. You know, their goaltending is going to be there this year. So I feel that they're going to be right there at the top of the East, and you know, hopefully they can make a nice run.
Nice, man. All right. Well, listen, when you're coming into town, let us know, because we'd love at least to have you in the studio sometime again, and just say hi in person.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, eat some Brussels sprouts before you come in.
Cabbage. Yeah. Well, listen.
It'd be radio silence.
Congratulations to you, man. You've earned your retirement, and enjoy, and we'll see you soon, all right?
Thank you, guys. Good to talk to you again.
You too. All right, let's hear it. Scotty Hart. A classic from Philadelphia. He's absolutely awesome. So is Simmer, is that what they call Gagne?
No, Wayne Simmons.
That's Wayne Simmons.
Simmons, yeah, like, Simmer.
That? Yeah, that's a great name.
It is a good name.
Simmer.
Simmer down.
All right.
Simmer down now.
We are going to take a break. We got a couple more things that we're going to get to before we get out of here. And one of the things I want to do is give away some movie passes for Venom. The screening is tomorrow night, I believe, Case. I think it's under, where's our prize?
It is tomorrow night. It's 7:30 at the
All
UA.
Right, UA King of Prussia, and we'll take five callers. That's what we have. 215-263-WMMR. We'll put you on the list. Movie opens on Friday, October 5th, so we can set you up with an advanced screening of that. We'll come back in a moment. Bizarre File stories are on the way. A charity event coming up this weekend, the Mutt Strut, Steve.
I am hosting.
You're going to be there, and we'll get the details from our friend Melissa Levy, so stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
From 5:30 to 7:30, Marissa Magnata rocks the 7th annual KOP Beer Fest Royale in the King of Prussia Mall parking lot, featuring more than 20 of KOP's newest and hottest restaurants paired with different brewers to create complimentary food and drink samples. Info at kopbeerfest.com. Join Nick McElwain Thursday from 7 to 9 as the Bud Light Philly Tour takes over the Union Tap, 2711 Comley Road, Northeast Philly. Catch the game and win Eagles tickets, an autographed helmet courtesy of Bud Light, and Bud Light Philly special t-shirts. Visit WMMR.com/Philly to see when the Bud Light Philly Tour is coming to your neighborhood. MMR's big friggin' deal. Enjoy a day at Sahara Sam's Oasis for just $17. Located in West Berlin, Sahara Sam's is New Jersey's largest indoor water park. Get this exclusive offer through Sunday or while supplies last at WMMR.com, keyword deal.
93.3 WMMR, everything and everywhere that rocks.
All right, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's get to some stories, and we'll begin with this one. A counselor at a substance abuse treatment center in Michigan will have to register as a sex offender after admitting that she had sex with two men that were in custody at the time.
You're not supposed to do that.
This is a new kind of counseling.
Yeah.
Apparently. Rochelle Johnson, 26 years old, dodged jail time on Tuesday but was sentenced to 5 years probation and was ordered to attend therapy after pleading guilty to fourth-degree criminal sexual conduct and furnishing a cell phone to a prisoner as well.
Quick question. Can I bang the prisoners?
Prosecutor said Johnson had sex with two men while working at the House of Commons, a court-mandated state-operated substance abuse treatment center. The man claimed that they were not victimized by Johnson, but her status as a Michigan Department of Corrections employee meant that the men were unable to consent to the illicit encounters. So
I wasn't supposed to do it.
I think they were all on board.
Of course.
But she, because of her position, it's not allowed.
I caught a whole bunch of crap for it.
But she's a registered sex offender as a result.
Yes, I believe you were correct. That's what the story says.
Too. So
Johnson, who worked nights and was often the only counselor on duty, also gave the men cell phones and let them leave the treatment center to buy alcohol. Oops. One of the men testified at a preliminary hearing.
Yeah, I wasn't supposed to do that.
The man characterized his relationship with Johnson as flirty, testifying that he would accompany her into a property room with no surveillance cameras.
If you have full sex, is that flirty?
That's flirty. Johnson also concocted bogus medical appointments so that they could leave the premises together. However,
when they had to go get pap smears, they knew something was up.
There was no evidence that Johnson used her position to coerce the men into sex, but she's in trouble nonetheless. When you think of a major U.S. city, you don't expect to see cows wandering around its highways, but that's what happened in Georgia early yesterday. The Georgia Department of Transportation said a truck hauling a total of 89 cows overturned. Oh, no.
Oh, God.
And
here we go.
On eastbound, I didn't even think about it.
It sounds like an utter catastrophe.
You know, I sift through and find these stories on your database, and I never even think about it that you're going to hit me with that. But anyhow,
yeah,
it overturned on Interstate 285's ramp.
It is, however, 75. A moving story.
Officials say about 7 cows were killed in the crash and up to 70 were released onto the roadway. Local residents in the area on horseback joined officials in an attempt to round up the escaped cattle, some of which had wandered into other nearby highways. There's video of the cops trying to corral them.
Yeah.
And one cow just lays this cop out flat.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
they've been through a traumatic experience.
Oh, yeah.
Why did they have the horses go in and talk to them first?
Just have a little
listen,
chat.
Listen, I understand. You've been through a lot.
You're confused.
It's okay.
Yeah. Search crews have found what they believe to be the body of a skydiving instructor who disappeared during a jump in Maine.
Ah! Oh.
Isn't that wild? And listen to this. Brett Bickford was strapped to a student during a tandem dive Thursday afternoon.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
So one person disappeared?
So, yeah, they came unhooked at some point.
I have to go to the bathroom.
Corporal John McDonald said...
I'll be right back.
I can't pee in front of you.
They both faced the same way, and that's how they came down initially out of the plane, of course, where one's on the back of the other.
Right.
During the jump, something went wrong, officials said. Bickford became separated from his student, who was able to safely land just beyond the runway, which is interesting because usually the chute is on the instructor.
The instructor and the harness... Back. Is on the tandem, so the tandem person is attached. Yeah, the chute is directly connected to the skydiving.
Yeah, because they
instructor
they control it. They're the ones that, that use the toggles and everything. So
maybe he connected it wrong.
Could you imagine the fright of the guy who's riding tandem?
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, this is awesome. Where'd he go?
Yeah.
During the jump, something went wrong. Officials said he became.
This is weird.
Bickford became separated from his student, who was able to safely land. Like I said, just beyond the runway.
I guess this is how they do it.
Bickford was presumed to have died, and crews searched for his body until it was found Friday afternoon.
Oh, I get it. He's going to reconnect at some point.
Officials said they're looking at every aspect to figure out why the jump ended in tragedy.
That's incredibly bizarre. It almost...
Confusing.
If I was to, think this... I wonder if that was a murder, or I wonder if that was intentional. It seems almost impossible it would happen that way.
I'm wondering why the chute was not attached to the instructor.
Yeah.
So, interesting. How about this? In an ancient Roman tomb that was recently discovered in Jordan, a colorful mural offers a comics-like glimpse of what life may have been like in the bustling city of Capitolius thousands of years ago. So here's what they found. Hundreds of illustrated figures, humans, animals, and gods, appearing in the paintings. Their poses demonstrate routine activities such as harvesting crops and building a defensive wall in the city that was thriving center of commerce and culture during the 2nd century AD. But the mural doesn't just contain pictures. Dozens of inscriptions appear alongside the figures, and they describe the action in the local language of Aramaic. And they seem to serve the same purpose as speech bubbles do in comic books.
Okay. Now, comic books to tell the story, or are they supposed to be like, do they think it's like comic, like humorous?
No, the inscriptions are actually similar to speech bubbles in comic books because they describe the activities of the characters and offer explanations of what they are doing. Like,
that's fascinating.
I am cutting stone. Alas for me, I am dead, which is also extraordinary.
It's not funny.
No, but I don't know. You know, I mean, maybe it's a graphic novel.
Now I got it.
First unearthed in 2016, the tomb and its remarkable artwork were recently revealed by the Department of Antiquities of Jordan. I think it's kind of uncommon to have that type of thing in these ancient ancient depictions. So thought that was kind of cool. We have to wrap it up.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It was a good one, though.
That was a good one to land on? All right, cool. Let's take a quick break and come back in just a moment. We will have a lesson question for you. Have you been paying attention? There's a prize up for grabs if you have been. Don't go forward. We get that and a few other things. Be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Foo Fighters. Alice in Chains. Godsmack.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
ACDC for you this morning. If you're learning how to play the drums, That is the first song that you should play.
Highway to Hell?
Quite possibly the easiest song ever to play.
Hmm.
In fact, I could teach Kathy how to play that song. I'm
really?
Wrong. Yes, I could.
All right.
Very, very easily. You want to shoot for Camp Out for Hunger?
Yes. All right.
And we have you play live.
Yeah.
Could you teach her to play Flight of the Bumblebee on trumpet?
Plenty of time. We could do that. I'd have to bring in a drum kit here because it's the only place we could get
the practice. She loves that.
What?
She hates the pounding of the drums here in the studio.
Oh, you mean me?
Yes.
Yeah. Listen, I love when you play, just not here during every break.
Has the guitar been bothering you?
No. Okay. That's not loud and obnoxious.
That's melodic.
Yeah.
What? I beat on, you know.
I know,
like,
I hate it.
You hate that?
She hates it. I see her wince.
Do you talk about it when I'm not in here?
You can just see a physical spasm take place.
Yeah, it's like it's the same reaction to when Nick eats.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or when I order new figures.
I don't take offense to that. They're both awful.
It's not like I can't be mad. There's nothing to be mad at, so I just hold it in.
Yeah. And then
just push it down.
Shove that down deep somewhere inside.
And I let me be me.
And save it for another time.
It's like in the...
You do you.
It's like in the movie with The Rock and...
Exactly.
I just crush it down.
And I bury it deep inside.
That doesn't seem healthy.
Well, I could teach Marissa, too, if she wanted to learn Highway to Hell. One of these two will learn. Or Kathy doesn't live too far from me. You could come over and take
Does it have to be Highway to Hell? Could it be Service Road to Purgatory?
Either that or YYZ from Rush.
All right.
Yeah. Is your pool still open, and do you serve cocktails?
During the lesson? The hot tub's open.
Oh, all right.
Ooh. So we could do that.
Okay. Somebody should teach you how to play that on guitar.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I might be able to learn that on my own. We do a full all-star jam.
I can do the drum, horn parts on my mouth.
There is no horn in that song.
There will be.
There is now.
Steve just does that on the microphone.
That's it.
Instead of the vocals. All right, well, that may be something to shoot for. We'll see about that.
We just created a band.
Before we get into these other things, like the lesson question and trash music news, have some music ready for me.
Yeah, I do. You know.
Because I want to talk to her first. She was supposed to be in the last segment, but time-wise, we hit a bit of a crunch, and we weren't able to get to it. So the Mutt Strut is taking place.
No, not this one. How about this one? Pictures.
Yeah, walk this way. That's better. Because it's Mutt Strut, and it's going on this weekend. Steve is going to be hosting it. Please welcome Melissa Levy back to our show. Hello, Melissa.
Hello, guys.
And Melissa with pause for those who aren't up to speed on just her name alone.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Melissa with pause.
And how many years now?
This is our 12th.
Wow.
Yes.
A dozen years
Time
strong.
Time flies. Yes, a dozen years strong.
Then I've been working with you guys since like the beginning.
Since the very beginning.
Yeah
I think so.
Wow. 12 years. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it just seems like a standard part of the calendar, the Mutt Strut.
I know. It's October again. It's time for another Mutt Strut.
Oh, my gosh.
Not to jinx it, but it actually looks like we're going to have good weather.
I'm afraid to say it out loud.
Because it's down at the Navy Yard.
Yes.
And it's in a wonderful area. It's kind of like a common area there. Just loads of ground.
It's a beautiful space. It's a huge wide open field. The walk goes all through the Navy Yard down by the river. So
lots of vendors.
Weather, lots of vendors, lots of food trucks. We've got even more activities all over the field for dogs and their people to have fun and to try new things. Just agility courses and games to play. So,
and people ask, by the way, do you have to have a dog? No, you can go down, and if you're interested in finding out about adoption or anything of that nature, it's all there.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a dog walk. It's a fall festival. It's also an adoption event. So if you're interested in adopting a dog, bringing a dog into your family, we encourage you to just come down. We're going to have dozens of adoptable dogs out on the field, and you can rent one to do the walk with, and either bring him or her home into your family, or just spend a fun day out in the park with an adoptable dog, and maybe someone else will adopt them. But and if you just love to come and people watch and dog watch, it's a really fun day because so many dogs show up in costumes and are doing tricks, and it's great fun for all.
It is a lot of fun. I look forward to it. I look forward to see the response from people. And I have seen people come and fall in love with a particular dog and make the arrangements to adopt that dog. So it's a win-win. And again, if the weather's looking as good as it's going to be in properly autumn autumnal, it'll be great.
Wood.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. So is this technically a... Oh, man, it's potted down.
Activities.
said it should be a fall activity.
I said it. Yes. I said it yesterday in the list. I said it was a very appropriate fall activity.
You guys are shooting for 125 Gs?
We are. We're hoping to beat. That was a record we set last year. We're hoping to beat it. We're on our way, but we need everyone to turn out and to just have a good time. You can register in advance, and you can actually create a fundraising page as people hit their fundraising goals. We've got great prizes to offer as little rewards. But you can also just come out and register in person the day of the event. But all the information is at pawsmuttstrut.org.
And by the way, the top prize is you're giving away a Caribbean vacation.
We sure are. Yeah. There's a lot. There's great prizes kind of along the way. T-shirts and sweatshirts and
everything.
And fun stuff. But then, yeah, the big prizes for the top fundraisers get to be pretty special.
Pretty heavy duty. And then, by the way, there's a lot of sort of gourmet couple of vendor trucks there for breakfast and coffee.
I think 7 or 8 food trucks that are confirmed, and always a couple extra who come along at the last minute. We've got La Colombe Coffee, and 7-Eleven is putting a snack stop together. So we're going to have, a lot of choices for everyone for food and treats for the dogs. And
explain what PAWS does and what the money raised will go to, because it's a wonderful cause.
Thank you. So PAWS is the largest rescue partner in Philadelphia. We pull animals out of the city shelter where they're in danger of being put down. We give them all the care that they need. We find them wonderful homes, and then we go and we fill up our spaces and our no-kill shelters with more of those animals who are waiting. And we also operate 2 high-volume clinics that serve pet owners who have a hard time affording vet care elsewhere. So we're helping to keep people and their pets together, prevent them from entering shelters in the first place. And all of this put together is leading Philadelphia to become a no-kill city, which is our ultimate goal. We want to keep animals out of shelters and find great homes for the ones who do land there. And we're getting there. We're making
very
amazing
doable.
Progress.
Yes.
Yeah. It is this Saturday, and best place to get the details through PressNC.com or
PawsMuttstrut.org.
Okay. Yeah. And like Steve was saying, the weather's looking like it's going to cooperate. It's going to be beautiful. And congratulations, by the way. Melissa got married to our friend Joseph.
Yay! Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, Melissa. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Melissa Levy, guys. Yay! This Saturday, Steve, the host, and our good friend, Kristen Harman. Our sister station, Ben FM, will be there as well, which is very cool. All right. We're going to do today's lesson question, and today we are going to give away a 4-pack of tickets as Temple football battles ECU this Saturday at noon, Lincoln Financial Field. Question I have for you this morning, the movie in which Kathy is Casey's butter therapist should be called what? 215-263-WMMR. The movie in which Kathy is Casey's butter therapist should be called what? 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call right now. While you're calling in, we're going to do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, I'm sure you got a couple things for us this morning.
I do.
Let's get to it.
Well, Lil Pump. Yes, Lil Pump out over $1 million now that his 15-day tour was canceled for a parole violation. A close friend of the rapper confirming that Lil Pump's in the dumps.
Yeah.
Amber Rose has reportedly broken up with basketball player boyfriend Monty Morris after discovering he was cheating on her. Rose is devastated, asking how she managed to pick the one basketball player who isn't faithful. And finally, an online tabloid report claiming that actress Kristen Stewart and her girlfriend Stella Maxwell are going through a rough patch. Stewart released a statement explaining that both of them just recently shaved. So that's it. Hollywood Trash.
All right, we'll see if somebody was listening. This might be a tough one here, folks.
It is.
The movie in which Kathy is Casey's butter therapist. Do you remember the title?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
Should be called what? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. See if you know the answer. And let me go to Ralph, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Ralph, how you doing?
I got a boner.
Oh, my God.
That's good.
I haven't heard that one in a long time.
Yeah. That's Ralph, one of my favorites, by the way.
What should the movie be called?
Is it Butter Squareless Waffle Boy?
No, it's not. Nah. Sorry, buddy.
It's close.
And I think the line is, look, he's got a boner.
He's got a boner. I think Ralph was
thinking. Do you still have that?
It's Casey.
Oh, it's Casey.
Yeah, yeah. Look, he's got a boner.
I haven't heard that one.
It's from Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead, yeah.
All right, let me go to Rachel, see if she knows. Hey, Rachel, good morning.
Good morning. Is it Unbutterable?
Unbutterable.
Yes.
Look, he's got a boner.
There it is. One more time.
Look, he's got a boner.
Thank you, Rachel.
Look, he's got a boner.
I should have given the other dude a prize just for saying that.
I know.
For Rachel, though, we're going to give her some tickets, a four-pack of them, as Temple Football battles ECU this Saturday at noon at Lincoln Financial Field, presented by Temple Health. Support Cancer Awareness Day and Audible for Autism Day at the game. Kids' tickets are only $10. You can visit owlsticks.com. We're ready for music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Velociraptor. All right, and it's brought to you this morning by the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University, offering quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Their expert audiologists are going to help you hear your best. Info at salusuhealth.com/PEI. Well, it was 1 year ago today that the rock world faced a particularly harsh blow with the sudden death of the legendary Tom Petty at the age of 66 at UCLA Medical Center, 1 day after suffering cardiac arrest at his home. Before the official announcement came down, fans had spent the better part of October 1st on tenterhooks as word was incorrectly leaked by law enforcement earlier in that day that Petty had died of a heart attack before it was retracted and announced that he was alive yet unconscious and pulled off life support.
That was a weird day because I clearly remember that thinking, oh, wait, no, he's still got a chance. He's fighting for his life, and then you heard later on that of course, he had passed away, but it was a roller coaster.
He had wrapped his 40th anniversary tour with the Heartbreakers on September 25th, so it wasn't long before he passed at LA's Hollywood Bowl. According to TMZ, Petty's wife, Dana York, seemed confused and upset when she called 911 on Sunday, October 1st. At around 10:45 p.m., the dispatcher tried to get her to administer CPR, but she needed help. You hear another man take the phone, but then Dana takes it back. She hears very soft breathing, tries CPR, and it seems that he's breathing better. Tom is in full cardiac arrest and unconscious. He was taken to the hospital, put on life support, but there was no brain activity. A chaplain came to administer last rites, and he was taken off of life support. Ugh. According to a source close to Tom, the Heartbreakers leader lived in near constant pain, with an unnamed insider telling RadarOnline.com that Tom had been doing well for a while, and when the band got back from London, he seemed to be on his last legs. Back in the 90s, Tom had a very bad heroin habit, and it left him with muscle and bone pain. Recently, he had to be given vitamin B12 shots, 30 or 40 units a day, just to give him the energy to perform. He was in severe pain. He was due to have a hip replacement. Apparently, he had like a hairline fracture in his hip.
And he was still performing with it.
And he was exhausted from working his butt off. His family begged him to rest up, but he vowed to finish up the tour for his fans. He knew there wouldn't be any more shows, and he wanted to go out on top. He blew the place away. Tom left it all on stage, according to the source, and unfortunately, it cost him his life. His death was officially ruled an accidental overdose. The Los Angeles County Medical Examiner stated the cause of death to be multisystem organ failure due to resuscitated cardiopulmonary arrest due to mixed drug toxicity.
Oh, wow.
So he was taking all these pain medications, and he took too many.
Yeah, you know, it's weird because you ever, just a mild pain, you ever have a mild pain that's a little pernicious and hanging in there, and you try to deal with it, but it's always, and imagine, you know, you've got this going on.
I had this speaks to exactly what you're saying. Yeah. I had a pain in my big toe a couple of weeks ago.
I have a hangnail pain.
It's driving me crazy.
Yes.
It hurts.
It hurts.
So mine is from,
and it's nothing in relatively speaking.
And that's the thing. I have psoriasis and it causes issues in your nails. And so I got this sharp pain in this little spot in my body. And damn it, it hurt.
Yeah.
So it's driving me crazy. You know, it's like having a toothache.
Right.
And you imagine that, and it was bothering me. You imagine that versus real, deep, hard, stabbing pain. It's I can't imagine living with it all the time.
I don't know how you ever have it leave your consciousness. It's always in your mind, how you ever get a good night's sleep. It's
My heart goes out to people who deal with this stuff.
This is, I mean, this is a morbid take on it, but I mean, that's why people who have severe, chronic, horrible pain, which I understand why they want to end it.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah.
If you have to deal with that, it's not worth living, you know? Some people feel that way.
Well, and a lot of the pain medications, the opioids, were created for short-term use. So it messes with the brain, though, and these people think that they're in pain, and they're not even, you know, it's not even really helping them.
You're exactly right.
Yeah,
it's a whole morass of crap.
Yeah, no, my friend's dad just fell off a ladder and broke his femur, and so he's going through a ton of pain right now.
Listen, my dad called me the other day, and he goes, "Your mom already has me as an addict."
Yeah.
She's like hiding the pain medicine from him because she doesn't want him to get addicted.
Here, have some apple cider vinegar.
Yeah,
that'll make it feel better.
I'm going to hold this spoon still and put the lighter underneath.
Oh, God forbid, please.
Prior to his death, Petty, who was suffering from a broken hip, had taken several pain medications, including fentanyl, oxycodone, and generic Xanax. Other medications included sleep aid Restoril, the generic Celexa, which treats depression as well. So he had a whole cocktail of things going on. And his, his presence is missed in the world of rock, obviously. But he made a statement and made an impact that will last for a long, 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 long time.
Remember from the beginning till, you know, seeing him relatively recently at the BB&T, pavilion with the... we're out on the lawn. One of the rare times, you know, I'll do the lawn. And the crowd, the age spread, all knew the songs, all knew the, just totally, you know, loving the show. Wall-to-wall hits, Preston. You know those concerts.
Absolutely. All right, some other news. Shinedown will embark on a U.S. headlining tour in February. And they'll be getting support from Papa Roach and Asking Alexandria. It's kicking off February 20th. The closest that I see them coming to us is either Hershey on March 1st or at the end of February. They're playing in Baltimore. So if you're interested, you can get those details online through Shinedown and their website. Former Ghost guitarist Martin Persner has said in a new interview that he can't bring himself to publicly talk about his exit from the band, explaining that, quote, something horrible happened, which caused him to leave the group. Asked in a new interview about his current relationship with Ghost frontman Tobias Forge, and the other musicians who toiled in the band as the masked nameless ghouls, Persner said, "I don't want to talk about that. I'm sorry. I understand, of course, everyone wonders. But
I don't want to talk about it.
But to me, basically, it's a group of five or six very, very good friends, and something horrible happened. And to me, it feels like talking about the divorce of your wife. It's so horrible. So I'd rather not talk about anything about that in terms of how we feel about each other and stuff because it's too personal. I still love the video footage of Tobias Forge, you know, as the as the lead character.
Yes.
Whatever he's called.
Amateurs.
Well, he's changed. He's a new character now in Ghost, but he's going, are we in Philly or are we in Jersey? I do not know. What should I call this?
I bring down upon you the wrath of Satan.
By the way, how's everyone doing?
Yeah, if that's what it was like.
So, that's the Ben Franklin Bridge, isn't it? Yeah. So I love being in Philly. I saw the Rocky movie.
Ooh, I'm a ghost!
Persner was not part of the lawsuit filed in early 2017 by four former members of Ghost against Forge.
This is where the Goldbergs takes it.
Now he sings a song, Rats!
That lawsuit accused Forge of cheating the musicians out of their rightful share of the profits from the group's album releases and world tours as well.
Shout out to Jenkintown.
GTP.
JTP.
JTP.
One last story. Metallica has been releasing vintage live videos in advance for the 30th anniversary deluxe edition of its 1988 album, And Justice for All. And the latest is a live performance of one that was filmed in Stockholm, Sweden on November 16th, 1996. The remastered bonus and memorabilia-packed new edition of Justice is due out on November 2nd. And, of course, they're playing MMR's big 50th birthday party. Is that on the 26th, Bill?
25th.
Yeah, that's a travel day for us.
Weston's
and we're heading
here
to London. Yeah, Bill is here. He's not. No, he's just.
Oh, he's just hanging out in the corner?
He's just sitting in the corner.
Do we have a sitting Bill theme?
I actually have a pretty good view of just his hair from where.
There you go.
It's there's a monitor obscuring it, so
he's kind of magical, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it's like the fog and the
has its own
the morning
Twitter account, right? Bill Weston's
Bill Weston's hair. Yeah, yeah.
Used
yeah,
to.
He's pretty vulgar. Bill Weston's hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sometimes he can be.
Well,
sometimes
it's his hair. He's not. He can't be responsible.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not.
I haven't seen that account in a long time. All right, that's that's what I have for you. Okay, so in music news, let's take another break. Don't forget a trip to give away for the Word of the Week prize this week. Very cool stuff, man, and it's a chance for you to attend an exclusive party on the set of The Walking Dead in Atlanta.
That is unfreaking real.
It is. So we'll do the letter coming up at the end of the program here in just a second. Mike, did you give me this to give away?
I give you that to give away.
Okay.
I gave it to you to give away.
I have Solo, a Star Wars story on Blu-ray.
Wow.
And I'll take call number 8 and give it to you. 215-263-WMMR. It's available now digitally on 4K Ultra HD, Blu-ray, DVD, and on demand. So let's do that. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay with us.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
A Tuesday, day number 2 of our work week in the bye-bye, at least for us and everybody who else got up at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever.
Yeah, 3:45 for me.
Yeah, something like that.
I look out the window, Preston. Yeah. I'm seeing a good day. And I'm seeing sun. I'm seeing leaves blowing in the breeze, slightly summerish looking.
Mm-hmm. And we have summer-like temperatures. We're a little above where we normally are, which I think we've earned that. 82 our high today, 79 tomorrow, 85 on Thursday. And then Friday and Saturday, we get two more seasonable temperatures with the highs around 71, 72 degrees. And then by the end of the month, our general temperature is usually about 62 degrees.
Yeah.
So the cooler stuff's coming. It's on the way. But right now, we're just enjoying this. It's been very, very nice the past couple of days. Some thank yous is what we normally do at this time, and we do have people to thank. So I want to say thank you to Scotty Hartnell,
who
just retired from professional hockey, and he said he's open to maybe coming back here and, you know, plucking out a life. His wife's family is from the area, so
it seemed very amenable to the idea.
So it was nice to talk to him, though. Joe Mantegna,
yes,
was on as well. Criminal Minds, man, he's a great guy to talk to. He's always got plenty to say. And they are celebrating 300 episodes in their 14th season.
It's just incredible.
And tomorrow night, 10 o'clock on CBS, you'll see the new episode. It premieres for the new season. Thank you to Melissa Levy for coming by today. Paul's Mutt Strut is on Saturday, and it's at the Navy Yard, and Steve is hosting it.
And Kristen Herman, and Matt. Cord from our sister station, and it'll be always a good time.
I want to congratulate our $1,000 winner, Jenna Moll from Reading, who had gotten in touch with us, and she wins $1,000, and your chance to win again coming up in just a few minutes with the gentleman who's here with us now. Pierre Robert is in the studio, and another birthday buck coming up, right, ma'am?
Indeed, at 11, and again at 1 p.m.
Cool, man. Good for you. Twice. Two times you get to give away money.
Again.
I like it. Do you have a hard time seeing through those glasses? They're very small lenses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're cool looking. They're very circular. They're like the John Lennon specs, only smaller than that, with these turtle shell frames on them.
I don't know anymore. I have so many different glasses, and
I can't see without his glasses.
Sometimes
put his glasses on. Put on his glasses.
Steve has said so many incredibly, phenomenally funny things over the years, but when you guys were still based in our studio, I will still never forget. I didn't have my glasses, and I'm looking at my sheet of what I had coming up, and I had to hold it out like 7 miles in front of me. And Steve, in his brilliance, said, Pierre has the eyes of a falcon.
Eyes of a falcon.
God, I love that.
We're all there.
Yeah, so I wear them and I don't wear them. And then I'm thinking of contacts. Have you ever worn contacts?
Never. I don't think I could do it.
I tried them myself for a few days.
Yeah.
But I have split levels now. Not bifocals. What do they call them? Progressives.
Progressives, yeah.
So you got long and you got shorter. And then sometimes.
So couldn't you wear contacts for one and then glasses for the other?
You could do that, yeah.
Why don't you just glue the contacts onto your glasses?
You could do that, too. For a while, yeah, it's a really complicated thing. It's really hard being beautiful.
I've worn the horror contacts where you know kind of makes your eyes look zombie-ish.
Yeah.
And I thought I couldn't do it, and taking them in and out wasn't that difficult.
Okay.
Yeah. And those are actually thicker than your
current level of contact.
At my eye doctor around the corner, Dr. Ralph and Dr. Marvin, they had a lady teach me how to do contacts, and it was behind this this wall separator in front of the waiting room, and I kept dropping it. I go, "Mother F," and I kept cursing really loudly.
Right where the waiting room is?
And she goes, "Pierre, there we have patients out there." Oh, I'm sorry.
There's some children crying out there.
Seriously? I'm going to try again. And I went back and forth.
From Touchstone Pictures, the story of a man who finally learned how to put in his contacts. Eagle Eye.
Well, you know, I've been wearing contacts since I was in eighth grade, so I could easily help him with that.
Yeah. Oh, what? We've been married all this time. Why haven't you offered?
And you had no
Do you know
idea.
It's funny when you can't, when you don't, when you wear your regular glasses because for some reason you can't. It's been a couple times where you haven't been able to put them in, or your eyes are sore
right,
or something.
Right, right. Yeah.
And it's a what? Well, must have been a bad contact day.
Yeah, I rarely wear my glasses, only at night. Huh.
There's that funny commercial on where the you've seen it with the girl. She loses her contacts, and the music is very dramatic, and she has to put on her regular glasses, and she puts them on, and it makes her eyes look huge.
All right, well, they look lovely on you today, sir.
Very kind.
You ready for the letter of the day?
Yo ho!
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now the Daily Letter,
and the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
A is in anniversary, 50th anniversary.
We have a trip for two to attend an exclusive party on the set of The Walking Dead in Atlanta, including two nights hotel, airfare from Philly to Atlanta, ground transportation in Atlanta, and the dead prize pack, along with tickets to the party with the undead. TV's number one show, The Walking Dead, returns for Rick Grimes' final episodes this Sunday, October 7th at 9, 8 Central, only on AMC. Must be at least 18 years of age to enter. So what's coming up on today's show, Pierre?
Lots of stuff. So birthday boxes, we mentioned, at 11 and 1 p.m. We also have tickets for Bush, which we had yesterday, and I think we'll have them all this week. Bush will play Thursday night at the Electric Factory, and that's going to be a fun show. We'll be out at another 50th anniversary MMR show there. And then this weekend, it just doesn't stop, the Struts will be happening at the TLA, and we're going to have sound check in the afternoon on Saturday afternoon, and I have tickets for the sound check and hang with the Struts and hear a couple of new songs
that
will be on the upcoming album, and I will host that. Jackie may stop by as well. I'm not quite sure about that, but that'll be tickets for the Struts Saturday night at the TLA and the meet and greet passes to the sound check earlier.
That's awesome.
A really cool prize. By the way, Neil Young was just amazing again last night. Oh my God! Sorry, I had to go.
So back to back.
Yeah. Lots of
Claire raved songs on the first night.
Just, oh my God!
So
how different was last night from the night before?
I did not think it was going to be that different, and there was maybe 10, 11 different songs. Which, you know, and he came out. And I noticed he didn't have a set list, and he walks around sort of like in a daze. But he's done that as long as I've been seeing him for over 35 years. And he starts to walk towards the piano, and he turns and he walks towards the pipe organ, then he turns and gets the electric guitar out. It's fast.
Well, so it's just him, so he can kind of make it up as he goes a little bit. He doesn't have to coordinate the rest of the band and the set list that way.
Yeah. He generally has been ending with Heart of Gold, a big hit, which he doesn't normally do, so it's rare when you get that. And he had Ohio and some of the big songs like that in there. But, you know, as you would say, it's like a fan show, like a Pearl Jam fan show. So it was mostly older songs, but deeper cuts.
That's awesome.
Great stuff from Harvest and from After the Gold Rush. And oh my God. And,
Bill would have hated it.
Why?
He doesn't like the deep cut stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah. Hits only.
The first night would have been a better night for Bill. The second song in was Thrasher from Russ Never Sleeps. Oh, my God. And then he did Four Strong Winds, which is a cover song. And he did that on his Old Ways album. Beautiful, beautiful song. Comes a Time, the song that he wrote that Nicolette Larson.
Lot of Love.
Yeah, that he wrote for Nicolette Larson. Comes a Time, big song for him. Another song from Russ Never Sleeps, Pocahontas. Then Tell Me Why from Russ Never Sleeps. Right into Only Love Can Break Your Heart. No, Tell Me Why from After the Gold Rush into Only Love Can Break Your Heart. Also from After the Gold Rush. Both those songs back to back. Two incredible Buffalo Springfield songs that I don't know if I've ever heard. Expecting to Fly and Broken Arrow. Tonight's the Night. Stuff like that. Just incredible.
That's a wild list of songs there, man. That's pretty awesome.
Out on the Weekend from Harvest. I don't know if I've ever heard that. Heart of Gold. Just amazing. So good stuff.
Cool.
Anyway, for today's show, we will have a workforce block of Sting. It's his 67th birthday, some Sting, some Police. We will take a look at Jefferson Airplane. We played a song on vinyl yesterday, but we have a few more to play for Marty Balin. And it was a year ago, as you guys just mentioned, that we lost Tom Petty. So we'll do a nice big block of Mr. Petty all here today.
Wonderful. Thank you, Pierre. And I want to thank our sponsors as well. The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Plus, brought to you by the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University. Tomorrow on our show, our buddy Adam Goldberg is going to be on.
How awesome is that?
Yeah, they have, what's their next episode? Is it
16 Candles?
No, what's that?
Zipperhead?
Zipperhead. The last one was 16 Candles. And
that's
right. They're going to feature Zipperhead on South Street.
Yes, it's great.
Cool. And we'll go live on Fox Good Day. And I'm sure we got some other goodies for you as well. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. And we will see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Oh, my God. Thanks for the laugh this morning with the Frank Rizzo. That's awesome.
Next message.
I just wanted to call and tell you guys that that apple crumb fritter bit was so funny. I was sitting in traffic, cracking up hysterically to where my voice was all high-pitched, and I was literally freaking out to people in traffic next to me. They're looking over at me like, what the f*** is wrong with this kid?
Next message.
Oh, my God. Steve got rock. I'm on my way to work, and I'm hearing the Frank Rizzo impression, and I'm just... I'm almost pissing myself. I'm laughing so hard.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.